ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാചകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ണു വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാചകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shubhadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Sarasvadevam Gauravani Prajarini Nirvisheshunyavadi Paschati Deshadharini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദിനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാർ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്തിർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ശക്തി പാധയോർസവ ജായത്തെ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്രകൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാർമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതിതന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകുണിദാതൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗുരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമദ്ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ വ്യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികയേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Yesterday, we had looked at this verse 11, isn't it? Yadaksharam Vedavido Vadandi, 8th chapter, 11th verse. Yadaksharam Vedavido Vadandi, Vishandi, Yad Yadayo Vidaragaha, Yadichando Brahmacharyam Charandi, Tatevadam Sangrahena Pravakshye. We have seen that the Brahmachari who performing Shastravijaram or Jnanavijaram or absorbed in the studying of the Vedam for the sake of self-realization, him, then the householder who is busy with the Vedavidovadandi, executing those karmagandam sacrifices for purification of his own existence, plus the sannyasis who are already fixed up in that state, who have come to the platform of the self-realization, all of them, Krishna is saying, tatepadam sangrahena pravakshe, they will all eventually reach that destination. It is all the three ashramam, mainly, brahmachari, grahastham, sannyasam. All three ashramams, they are mentioned in that verse, in that. We have seen that yesterday, and then also we spoke about these two verses, Sarvadvarani Samyamyam Mano Hridya Aniruddhaya Mano Hridya Niruddhyacha Murdhinen Adhyatmana Pranam Astido Yogadharanam. Again, you can see the word Hridi there, the mentioned about Hridi, the location on the right hand side, Hridi. Murdhinen Adhyatmana Pranam Astido Yogadharanam Omit Yegaksharam Brahmam. Next verse, Vyaharan Mam Anusmaran എ പ്രയാതി ത്യജൻ ദേഹം സയാദി പരമാം ഗതിം സയാദി പരമാം ഗതിം. സോ ദാറ്റ്സ് 12 ആൻഡ് 13 വേഴ്സസ് ഈസ് ബേസ്ഡ് മോസ്റ്റ്ലി ഓൺ ദി അഷ്ടാംഗയോഗം, ആൻഡ് ദെയർഫോർ വി വിൽ ലീവ് ദാറ്റ്, വിൽ ഗോ ടു ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് വൺ. അനന്യചേതാ സതതം, ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് വി ഹവ് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ. അനന്യചേതാ സതതം യോമാം സ്മരതി നിത്യശ Tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. That is the verse we are. For one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So there, in that ananya cheta satatam, that is a very important verse, because we mentioned there അനന്യചേതാ സതതം യോമാം സ്മരതി നിത്യശ തസ്യാഹം സുലഭ പാർത്ഥ നിത്യയുക്തസ്യ യോഗിന. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഹിയർ യു വിൽ സീ അനന്യചേതാ സതതം, ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ് സതതം. കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻസ് ദിസ് വേർഡ് സതതം സംടൈംസ്. ഹാവ് യു നോട്ടീസ്ഡ്? സതതം കീർത്തയന്തോ മാം, അനദർ വേർഡ്സ് ലൈറ്റർ യു വിൽ സീ. ഹിയർ ഓൾസോ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് അനന്യചേതാ സതതം. സതതം മീൻസ് ഓൾവേസ്. സതതം മീൻസ് ഓൾവേസ് without any break, without any interruption. In other words, in the Bhagavadam, when we talk about that, there are two places you will see mentioning avismriti shridhara padavatmayo. In one, avismriti shridhara padavatmayo, in other words, never forgetting Krishna for a second. Avismriti, without forgetfulness of Krishna for every moment. Avismriti shridhara padavatmayo. Another place you will see avismriti krishna padaravindayo. Two different places while referring to bhakti they will mention it like this, avismriti shridhara padavatmayo, avismriti krishna padaravindayo. In that way it is mentioned. So not to forget krishna anytime, not to forget krishna anytime. So normally you'll say whatever wealth you get in this world, sambatha, actually sambatha means wealth, or well, what you receive in this world, it is not wealth. Similarly, whatever wealth you lose in this world, that is also not a danger. It's also not a danger. Wealth is if you remember Krishna, and if you forget Krishna, that is the danger. If you forget Krishna, that is the danger. If you remember Krishna all the time, that is your wealth. Vipado neva vipadaha, സമ്പദോ നേവ സമ്പദ, വിപദോ വിഷ്ണു വിസ്മരണം, സമ്പദ് നാരായണ സ്മൃതി. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ് ദാറ്റ് വിപദോ വിപദ. ഓൾ അതർ ഡേഞ്ചേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് എ ഡേഞ്ചർ. വിപദോ നേവ വിപദ. ആൻഡ് ഓൾ അതർ വെൽത്ത് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് വെൽത്ത്. സമ്പദോ ന സമ്പദ. Then vibhado, what is danger? Then vibhado vishnu smaranam, when you forget Krishna, that is the most highest greatest danger. And sambat narayana smriti, and if you remember Krishna always, that is the greatest wealth. That is the greatest wealth. So if you forget Krishna, that is the danger, and if you remember Krishna, that is the greatest wealth. Therefore whenever we forget Krishna, immediately we have to keep reminding ourselves all the time not to forget Krishna. Kunti Devi mentions this, isn't it? Vipada sanduda shashval tatra tatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam yasyal punar bhavadarshanam. Kunti Devi mentions that in the Kunti Stuti, isn't it? Vipado sanduda shashval tatra tatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam yasyal punar bhavadarshanam. Kunti Devi says to Krishna that vipatta or danger is that if I forget you, but every time when you come I will remember you, and therefore I am sure that I don't have to come back again and accept another body here. So so smaranam, satata smaranam, not for remembering for a short period of time in a day, all the time mentions here. Yomam smarati, Krishna's words are like that. അനന്യ ചേതാ സതതം യോ മാം സ്മരതി നിത്യശ. കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് യോ മാം സ്മരതി നിത്യശ. നിത്യശ മീൻസ് ഓൾ ദ ടൈം, നോട്ട് ഫോർ എ ഡേ ഓർ ടോ, ഓൾ ടൈം. സതതം സ്മരതി, സതതം സ്മരതി. ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദ കമന്റ് ഇൻ ദി ഭാഷ്യം ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ദാറ്റ് നൈരന്തര്യേണ. നൈരന്തര്യം മീൻസ് നിരന്തരം. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദർ ഇസ് നോ ഇന്ററപ്ഷൻ അറ്റ് ഓൾ. കോൺസ്റ്റന്റ്ലി റിമെമ്പറിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ. Spiritual life is properly, so those who are very serious about spiritual life, it has to be like that. It cannot be for a short period of time. That is why sometimes these special days like Ekadashi or Janmashtami or Ramanavami or Narasimha Chaturdashi, all these days they are for those people who are actually absorbed in the world. In order to bring them to spiritual life, there is certain special days recommended. It is not that we only celebrate those days and other days we do what we want. That's not spiritual life. That's why it is not to be ignored, but at the same time, not that only those days we have to celebrate, other days we don't have to celebrate. In spiritual life, every day is a celebration for remembering Krishna, for remembering Krishna. So that is why you will see here that in this verse, satatam means the definition of satatam. Iti nairandaryam uchyate. Nairandaryam means uninterrupted. It has to be a constant remembrance of Krishna. Remembrance of Krishna means, if you talk about in the Bhakti Margam, remembering Krishna as a personality, Supreme Personality of Godhead, or in the Jnana Margam, if you take it as always remembering that Antaryami inside. When we go in front of the deity and see the deity, what should we think at that time? That Krishna who is standing there is that Supreme Person who is within my heart. This realization. Nairandaryana Smriti. Satatam idi nairandaryam uchyade. Nityashaha idi dhirghakalatvam uchyade. Not nityashaha means for a very, very long period of time. And na shanmasam, not for 6 months. Samvalsaram, not for a year. Kim tarhi taval yava jivam nairandaryana yomam smradi ityartaha. So long as there is life in the body, that long, you have to remember. You have to remember Krishna. Otherwise, it is not possible to get back to our state of original spiritual identity. We have gone so far away from our connection with Krishna. In order to get back, this practice is required. Nairandaryam, satatam. That's why Krishna keeps repeating satatam, satatam. All the time to be absorbed in Krishna. All the time to be absorbed in Krishna. Only difference is in the Bhakti Margam, we take Krishna's absolute truth as a Supreme Personality and surrender unto Him. All the time surrendering to Krishna. All the time surrendering to Krishna. There is nothing much we can do about it. Continuously surrendering to Krishna. In the Jnana Margam, realizing that Antaryami inside, it is Him. Krishna is inside us, guiding and directing us every moment, in everything in life, all the time. That is what it is. Tasyaha. So, tasya yoginaha aham sulabha sukhena labhyaha partha nitya yuktasya sadasamahi tasya yagina yad evam atha ananya cheda sanmai sadasamahido bhaved. So, for such a yogi who is always remembering Krishna, satatam, all the time, for such a person, it's very easy for him to come back to me, Krishna is saying. So, that is where this ananyatvam, we talked about it yesterday, isn't it? Ananyatvam. So, what is ananyatvam? That's what we were discussing yesterday. We'll come to that later. What does ananyatvam mean? So, sometimes a disciple asked a Vedantam, it is like satatam idi nairandaryam uchyate. So, studying Vedantam, for example, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimal Bhagavatam, Ekadasham, and Brahma Sutram, all of that is Vedantam, isn't it? So, a disciple asked a spiritual master that how long should I study? Sometimes people ask this question. How long should I study? How long should I read? How long should I chant? That question is irrelevant. Question is irrelevant. The spiritual master told him, when you wake up in the morning, you start studying. And then you stop when you go to sleep. Up to that time you can study, he said. So then he asked him, how long should I do it? He said. He says to him, many people will ask him, I have been doing it for almost a month now and nothing has happened. So he says, how long should I do it? So it is not possible to say how long. You cannot say how long. So, avasnehe kalam, avurdehe kalam, nadu naidu vedanta chindaya. In other words, it may be right up to the time of death. You may have to do it. I have to do it. So, morning from waking up till the time we go to bed. So, in the bhakti process, what you can do, it depends on a person's nature. Somebody who is absorbed in the bhakti process, for bhakti, you can change the activities, kriya. That's why it's called Kriya Kalabha Bhakti. In other words, different activities. Somebody will do deity worship. Somebody will chant the holy name. Somebody will study Srimal Bhagavatam. Somebody will go circumambulating the deity or the temple. Different things there is in the bhakti process. Kriya Kalabha Bhakti it is called. So Kriya activities can change, but all the time to be focused on the on the deity, all the time focused on Krishna. So different people do different ways bhakti, they execute bhakti in different ways. So that is what it is. So we sometimes people, they wake up in the morning, they don't just start getting up and do different things. While sitting in the bed, they start their spiritual life by remembering about the spiritual understanding from the Shastram. They start, begin their spiritual life in that way. Afterwards, they go and bathe and then engage in the deity worship, performing, they are worshipping deity at home, performing abhishek, or offering their obeisances to the deity, or then they go to the temple and then they hear about the Shastram from there, from listening to Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or participate in satsangam and things like that. So many activities like that. Although the activities may change whole day, it can change the whole day, different types of activities, but remembrance don't change. Always remembering that, what you are doing here, to remember that, but activities can change. The activities can change, but the but at the same time, the remembrance cannot change. In the Shivananda Lahiri, there is a verse about that. It says that kanchit kala uma mahesha bhavada padara vindarchanei kanchit dhyana samadhibi cha nadhibi kanchit katha karnanei kanchit kanchit avekshaneisham nudhibi kanchit dasham idrisham ya prapnodi mudha tad arpitamana jivam sa mukta khalu. Acharya Swamiji wrote this famous, his book on the bhakti, is the Shivananda Lahiri. It was written in a place called Malligarjuna Swami Temple in Andhra Pradesh. That's where this Sri Shailam, famous temple of Lord Shiva. That is where this was written, Shivananda Lahiri was written there. And it says here, Kanchit Kala Uma Mahesha Bhavada Padaravinda Archanehi. That after and Kanchit dhyana samadhi bija nutnadibhi kanjil katha karnanei kanjil kanjidala vekshanescha nutibhi kanjil dasham idrisham ya prapnodi muda tadarpidamana jivan samukta khalum. So a devotee, when he gets up in the morning, for some time he performs, he just doesn't get up and walk out to the bathroom straight away. He gets up and stays in the bed for a while before he starts his day. And at that time, so that you don't wake up into the body straight away. You wake up into your spiritual identity. It is an important thing. When we discuss these three verses, Pradasmarana Stotram, we'll see that, how it is important to do it that way. Never, because when we wake up from the Sushupti state, provided we have deep sleep in the night. Those who don't have deep sleep, what can you do? But generally, people are supposed to be having a deep sleep and then you wake up, is it not, in the morning. So, in the deep sleep stage, when you had no identification with the body or the mind or intelligence or ego, including your personality, you had no connection. So, when you wake up in the morning from that state, you have the least chittavritti inside, is it not? The least chittavritti inside when you wake up in the morning first time. So therefore, because the least chittavritti there, it is the best time for spiritual life. This is the reason why we say in the Brahma Muhurtam, you should get up and engage in spiritual life. That is the main reason. Normally we will say, oh, it is the time Brahma is offering his prayers to Krishna. And sometimes then people will ask this question, oh, when here it is, now it's say 3:30 or 4:00. So when is the Brahma Muhurtam then? Is the Brahma Muhurtam different here and in America? There could be another Brahma Muhurtam there. That is all ridiculous questions. It has no meaning. That we say like this, Brahma Muhurtam one should get at. The main reason for engaging in spiritual activities in the morning is this. That when you come out of Sushupti, That is the time your chitavritti is the minimum at that time. By afternoon, evening, with various vyavaharam in this world, the whole head is filled with all sorts of thoughts, and therefore it's not possible to absorb in spiritually seriously. So therefore, for that reason alone, as soon as we get up, that is the best time for spiritual activity. No matter, it may be 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whatever time it is, according to one's situations. So, he mentions here that a devotee gets up in the morning and for some time before he comes out of the bed, for a few minutes, meditation in the bed, before he comes out of the bed. After bathing, then he has flowers or whatever he has arranged, and his daily worship at home. And then he chants the holy name after that. And then if you are engaged in absorbing in any introspection or contemplation of the whatever you have read or heard, if you want to engage in pastime meditations, samadhi sthiti. Then afterwards you go to a temple and engage in the worship at the temple. Seeing the deity at the temple, offering your obeisances, circumambulating the temple, all this is a part of the worship at the temple. And then afterwards, during the day, he absorbs in activities which are not creating a lot of chitavritti inside, to keep it to the minimum. And later on in the evening, he participates in satsangam. And while going to bed in the night, again remembering Krishna, he goes to sleep. In this way, if the day is structured, that is what is expected for developing bhakti. Bhakti process is like that. So, sometimes offering flowers or engage in cooking or for the offering, making offerings to the deity. In this way, all the time some engagement, so that this connection with Krishna is never broken. Continuous remembrance of Krishna, unbroken way to keep that going. Stuti means nudibhi, it says here. Nudibhi means glorifying Krishna. And kathashravanam, kshetra darshanam, all that. So like this, from morning to night, without allowing the mind, not allowing the mind to go to other things, looking for other things. If you do like that, that is a simple sadhana bhakti. That is the sadhana bhakti. How to get the mind under discipline, in a controlled state. So, in other words, he hands over the mind to Krishna all the time. The mind to Krishna. So, in the Shivananda Hari Ajari Swami mentions it like this. What can I offer it to you? He says to Lord Shiva. Because you don't need anything. You have got everything. There's nothing I can offer to you what you don't have, he says to him. So, just like for a goldsmith, you hand over to him a small piece of gold, it's not going to matter very much to him, because he is seeing the gold all the time, he has got enough gold with him. Similarly, I have to give you something which you don't have. So, bhavadu bhavadartham mama manaha, he says. Only for that purpose, what I have got, what you don't have, is my thing called mind inside. That's the only thing I can offer to you. And this mind is very good, because Lord Shiva has this nature that he goes for bhiksha, isn't it? Bhikshamdehi he is. He has got his skull as a pot to collect the bhiksha from the on his bhiksharanam. And therefore, Ajari Swamiji says to him that you can take my mind with you. He is the best monkey. Use him to play in front of others and they'll give you something. And my mind is so good as a monkey. It plays its role so well, he says to him. So, so use this mind for that purpose, and the monkey will do a lot of acrobatics, and people will, you'll see all this in India, where all sorts of things goes on with the monkey that's being used for this purpose, isn't it? Sada mohadavyam. In the another verses, he mentions that.
Sada mohadavyam charati yuvatinam kujagirau nadatya shashakha svadati jadidi swairam abhidaham కపాలో బిక్కపాలిన్ బిక్షోమే హృదయకపిం అత్యంత చపలం దృఢం భక్త్యా బద్ధ్వా శివభవాత్ అధీనం కురు విభో. సదా మోహాండవ్యాం చరది యువతీనాం.
బికాస్ దిస్ మంకీ ఇన్సైడ్ మీ, హీ సేస్, ఐ విల్ టై దట్ డౌన్ విత్ అ రోప్ అండ్ గివ్ ఇట్ టు యూ. హీ సేస్ టు శివ, వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ రోప్? He says the rope is that it is the bhaktya badhva bhakti. Bhakti is that rope through which I'll tie it down. And if you do that, then you are free. If you hand over your mind to Krishna and tie it down with the rope of bhakti and give it to him, then you are free. You are free. You are free. The monkey is independent, isn't it? Monkey is independent. But actually the person who is controlling the monkey, he is dependent. He is dependent. You can see that in the world also. When we look at him, we think that monkey is dependent and the person who is controlling the monkey is independent. But it is not like that. The monkey is independent and person who is controlling the monkey is dependent on the monkey. So, just like sometimes people walk with the dog, isn't it? We think that the dog is dependent and the person who is controlling the dog is independent. But it is the other way. Prabhupada gave that example very often. He said the person who is holding the rein of the dog and he has to follow the dog wherever the dog goes. He has to, actually dog is the master, we becomes the servant, he said. Or the other way. Although we think we are the master and the dog is the servant, but it happens the other way. So in its own mind, the dog is free. In its own mind, the dog is free. So the dog has no desire that it wants to stay with the master. If you let it go, the dog will like to go somewhere else, wants to wander around freely. So if you leave the dog, it may go on its own way also. But here, we can see there that the dog is independent and we are dependent at that time. So similarly, our mind also, if you hand that over to Krishna, then we are independent. Once we hand over the mind to Krishna, then we are independent. Because Krishna is Nitya Swatantram, always independent, isn't it? And that responsibility of looking after the devotee is Krishna's responsibility then, not our responsibility. That easiness has to come inside. That everything what we do, we have to hand that over responsibility to Krishna and not to get too concerned about everything what is going on in this world. Because that is the only way we will get out of the kartrutvam. Kartrutvam is the biggest problem, isn't it? I am the doer, I am the controller, that thing. It will not go otherwise. So, that is why, bhavadu bhavadartham mama manaha. So, I am handing over the mind to you and you hand over, you look after this mind whichever way you like it. That is the prayer to Krishna. Atyanta chapalam, because the nature of this mind is it will tell me one thing now and tell me the opposite thing after a few minutes. Always it is like that, is it not? Whether I should do this way or I should do that way, this confusion in everything what we do here. So bhakti means what? Bhakti means Atmanivedanam, is it not? Atmanivedanam. Completely handing over everything to Krishna is bhakti. Bhakti is not a very complicated thing in principle. It's not so complicated. We think that bhakti means we have to do a lot and only then bhakti will come one day to us. No, it is not like that. Right now, if everything is handed over to Krishna, then that is bhakti. Everything finishes. But the handing over doesn't happen so easily, therefore it taking long time. That's only principle. So, Atmanivedanam. So, you should not take that simply as an emotion, as a vigaram. It should not be taken. It is not our own mind. Mind is Krishna's mind since then. So, body is also Krishna's body. Krishna is looking after this body. Krishna is looking after the mind. Krishna is running the show. And in this way, constantly surrendering to Krishna inside. Antaryami inside is operating everything. That is why Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita the importance of Antaryami, realizing there that he is controlling everything, he is running the show, it is in his hands everything, what has to happen next moment, good or bad, whatever it may be. So, therefore, as long as this has happened, perfection and whether the mind is in a good shape, or the senses are under control, or the intelligence is clear, clarity in the intelligence, all these questions you cannot ask after that. Once you have taken Krishna's shelter, once you have surrendered to Krishna, and you have handed over your mind and body, intelligence, everything to Krishna, after that you cannot ask this question when depression comes in the mind or some sort of disturbance comes to the mind. You have to say to that, that time, you have to understand that Krishna wants that depression to come, whatever time it is, and it will happen that way. Similarly, if the senses are not being under control, you have to take it that Krishna has let the control of the senses gone with that. In the same way with intelligence also, whatever clarity necessary, Krishna has to provide the intelligence for a devotee. For a devotee. That is beauty of bhakti, that everything is handed over to Krishna and you can sit fully relaxed. Fully relaxed. That is the bhakti process. That is the bhakti process. So, only one thing is that Krishna has a responsibility then to protect the devotee. He has a responsibility to protect the devotee. So, and everything else he has to manage. He has to manage. If there is something wrong with me, then you have to repair it. I can't do anything about it. It's your problem. So, just like you'll see there, sometimes you ask, some people will say to you, I got my car, but I can't drive. If you want, you take it and go. And go somewhere and drive wherever you want to go and come back. You will say it there. If there is any problem with the car, you fix it, they'll say. You can fix it and you can use the car. Similarly, if I have any problem with my mind, with my body, with my intelligence or senses, I'm handing over to you everything. You repair it and fix it. And then you can use it whichever way you want it. So, a devotee is always thinking in this way. Devotee is always thinking like, this is bhakti, to always think like this. Whatever Krishna wants to do, that's fine with me. This way or that way, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens in life, that is Krishna's decision. But you have to hand over to him that responsibility, that is bhakti. In this process, the best the way of surrendering is Sundaramurti Swamiji's words. It's the most amazing thing. He argues with Shiva about this. He's a devotee, he argues with him. And his logic is like this. And if you follow that logic, it's the most interesting thing what you can see in the bhakti process. Nobody else has spoken like this, as far as bhakti is concerned. He says to Lord Shiva, Sundaramurti Swamiji says to Shiva, another devotee says to Krishna, bhakti is the same, but whichever devotee depends on to whom he has the devotion. He says here, I have got a lot of faults in me. Try to remember this. It's a very interesting bhakti execution of Sundaramurti's prayers. He says, I have a lot of faults in me. And without my knowledge also, sometimes I'll go and do some blunder. Sometimes because my senses will drag me somewhere and I'll go and do it without any thought. And the mind is always like this. I cannot trust my mind. I don't know what it will do the next moment. It will do the next moment. Now, if you tell me that if after all these things have become perfect, only then I can come to you. That's what Shastram says, isn't it? Shastram says, all your senses must be under control, mind should be under control, body should be under control, and when everything is perfect, you can come to me. Shastram says like that, isn't it? That's why we are trying every day, isn't it? To control the mind, control the senses, control. He says to him, if all these requirements are there, I will never be able to come to you. He puts it very bluntly to Shiva. He says to him, I'll never be able to, because if I can make all these things perfect, then what do I need you for?
This is how he is arguing with the Shiva. He says, if I can do all these things, then what do I need you for? Then I can do all these things. So, therefore, what I am doing now is, whichever way I am at the moment, I will surrender to you. I am taking complete shelter of you. You take me on board. You take me on board. It's a very good prayer, isn't it? That it is a reality. In fact, strictly speaking, what's our sadhana and all? This 2 hours sadhana in a day, or what we chant, 16 rounds or whatever, it is nothing compared to the great yogis and jnanis, the amount of austerities and penances they have performed. Our sadhana is nothing. It's nothing. So to think that through sadhana I will get there, if you ask that question, there is not much of a hope. There's no chance, there's no hope either to get there. But that is where this prayer comes important. So Sundaramurti Swamiji says to Shiva that if you ask me all these qualifications do I have, and if you start looking into my track record, whether I have controlled my mind, I control my senses, I control my body, everything, then there is no hope for me to come to you. But I will do one thing. The way I am at the moment, I will surrender unto you. You please take care of me. And you repair me, whatever required, like the car. The same way, you start repairing me, whatever problems I have got. And he gave a very good example also in the Tevaram. He gives a very good example. He said, I told you that before also, in the temple for a festival, they were cooking. So there was a huge pot of water kept. And there was a huge pot of sweet rice also, cooked and ready for the feast. Suddenly, a fly came and fell into this water. So the chief cook or person who was in charge of the kitchen, he says, throw away the whole water and fill it with fresh water, because the fly has fallen into that. So they did that. And then in the huge pot of sweet rice, something fell there also. It got contaminated. But he didn't say that you throw the whole sweet rice away. What he said was, you put this darbha grass in there, and take that out with the darbha. That means it's purified. That's understood like that. It's pure then, after that. With the darbha, if you take it out, otherwise you won't throw the whole sweet rice away, would you? After cooking so much sweet rice, you cannot throw it away. So what he does, he says, so two things, water and sweet rice, treated in two different ways. Is it not? Two treated in different ways. So one rule for the water and one rule for the sweet rice. So a devotee who has surrendered to you and he has completely, if he has not surrendered to you, he has accepted you, but he has not surrendered to you, and if you send him away, there's nothing wrong in that. Suppose a devotee has started worshipping you, but he does not want to surrender to you. If that is the case, he does not want to surrender to you, he will offer his worship everything every day for a certain period of time, whatever sadhana he wants to perform, he will do that. But he does not want to surrender. If it is like that and you send him back, there is nothing wrong in that. Sundaramurti Swami is saying to Shiva, he says to him like that, but I am, he says, I am not maybe doing any sadhana, but I completely surrendered to you. Whatever you want to do with me, you do. Whatever you like, he says. And I have completely taken your shelter. You are the only shelter for me. I have nothing else in this world to look forward to. I have nowhere else to go. I have nobody else to care for me. And I am helpless. And I am completely taking your shelter. This is bhakti. He says to him, and then when I come like this, with this mood, you should not find any fault with me and throw me out, he says. That is the proper Sharanagati. That Sharanagati means this. We may have so many problems with us, in our mind, in our body, in our thoughts, everything. And if Krishna start looking at all that, make all this perfect and come to me, it is never going to happen. It's never, we know that very well. From the past 50, 60 years we have lived in this world, we know what it is like. So if you put all these qualifications on that, it's not going to happen. So therefore, you should not reject me, he says to Shiva. And what you should do, you should remove all the faults in me, like you have done with the milk. Like you have done with the milk. Whatever that is there, you take it out. The fly has fallen into the sweet rice. With the darbha grass, you took it out and you say you can now distribute the sweet rice. You didn't throw it away. Similarly, whatever faults are there in me, you should take it out and you should take control of me and give me shelter. This is how Shiva smiled when he said this. Sundaramurti Swamiji, when he said that, his logic is very good. His logic is very good. So that is Sharanagati. That is Sharanagati. So in order to surrender to Krishna, whether you surrender to Krishna or to Shiva, it doesn't matter. But where you surrender is not important. You surrender is important. To whom you surrender is not important. Sometimes, what is spiritual master? Because we want a personality to surrender to, you surrender to the person. Knowing very well Krishna is present, Atmano Gurura Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshen Anumanabhyam Shreyasa Manuvindade. Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam that some people who are finding it difficult to understand me, Krishna, they surrender to the spiritual master. Who is me? Krishna says standing in front of him. So surrender there. But surrender is more important. To whom you surrender is not important. The process of surrender is more important. But that does not happen. So that is why. So Atmanivedanam means that I cannot do anything. You look after everything. And you are my only shelter. I have no other shelter. This nature in a person. But that has to be very genuine and proper in a person. And that is bhakti. That is bhakti. Otherwise, bhakti has no meaning. If this does not happen, that we are thinking a lot of sadhana and everything under control, everything organized and I am in charge. That way bhakti will go for a very long time. Sundaramurti Swamiji's message is that whatever problems I have, don't look into it. That's your problem, not my problem. Because this is what I am as it is. And if you tell me that I need to get qualified to come to you first, then it is not going to happen. Then I don't need you if it is all this qualification. So that is the proper bhakti understanding, bhakti nature. So that is why. So here you can see in the Shivananda Lahari, from this verse, this Sundaramurti Swamiji is the same verse Ajari Swamiji brought into Shivananda Lahari, keeping that Manaste Padabje Nivasadu Vajastotra Bhanidam. Karojabhyarchayam Shudirabi Katha Karnanavidho Tavadhyane Buddhir Nainayugalam Murti Vibhave Paragrandham Kerva Paramashivajane Paramamadham. So, in the same way you will see in the Bhagavatam also, the same principle is the same. Principle doesn't change. Bhakti is the same in everybody. Who has got bhakti inside? Bhakti in the heart means this. If you remember the 10th canto, when the Nalagvera and Manigriva, when they went to Krishna after that pastime, where in the 10th chapter, I think it's the 10th chapter. Yes. Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they were cursed by Sri Narada Maharshi and they went to, they stood there as two Arjuna trees, isn't it? They were standing like two trees there. Krishna pulled the mortar in between them and both the trees fell. And there they stood, these two sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they stood there and there is a famous prayer in the Bhagavatam as the children glorifying them. And at the last thing, what they said to him in the verse 38 was, Vani gunanu kathane shravano kathayam hastau jakarma sumanastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal pranami drishtisadam darshanestu bhavatanunam. This is the last thing, what they said to Nalakuvera and Manigriva. They were very fallen, weren't they? The things what they did. They offended Narada Maharshi in a very bad way. They were drunk, intoxicated, heavily intoxicated, no clothes on the body, and busy with all the apsaras women. They were bathing in the river when Sri Narada Maharshi came that way. They didn't even cover their body when Narada Maharshi came there. Plus they had this ego of son of a very rich person, richest person, Kubera, Kubera's sons. So the ego due to the wealth, highly educated they were. So Vidyamadam. Vidyamadam and Madam due to Aishwarya, Aishwarya Madam, to opulence, two. Then what else? Yavana Madam. They were young as well. So that Madam, that ego due to that. So all plus this Madam due to the few pints that's gone in. That also. Everything. So all kinds of ego inside those two. So Narada Maharshi gave them this mercy that you go and stand there for 100 years. When Krishna comes there, he will come and get you released from that body. What did they say to Krishna? If we had that not happened, Narada Maharshi had not said this, we would have never had this opportunity to see you. We would have never got this opportunity to see you. And saying this, they paid their obeisances to Krishna. So finally, before they left, they mentioned this. Vani guna anukathane shravanau kathayam hastauja karma sumanastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal pranami drishti sadam darshanestu bhavattanunam. Very interesting. They are saying, from now on, let our mind does not go in the wrong way. Always let it be absorbed in hearing about you. Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam. Always hearing about Krishna. Then, hastauja karmasumanastava padayorna. Or, all the time, my hand should be absorbed in your service and mind should be absorbed at your lotus feet. Smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal pranami. And all the time, our head should pay our obeisances to you or to the place where you are present. And drishti sadam darshanestu bhavat anunam. And our eyes or our attention should be always in seeing the devotees and being with the devotees. Like this, they finish those prayers to Krishna. And Sri Narada Maharshi, as he spoke, then Krishna released them from their bondage and went they back to their abode again. So, you can see, all the devotees have only one thing to say. They all sing in the same way. The song is the same. The only thing is, some devotees are very interesting, like Sundaramurti. He is a very interesting personality who could speak like this to Shiva. That surrender, that's that what you have to see there. That surrender inside, that is bhakti. That's bhakti. That surrender inside. So, little by little the mind, we have to train ourselves these things. It's not going to happen otherwise. Because our mind is absorbed with a lot of other thoughts. So therefore, we have to inject these thoughts also sometimes to inside and make ourselves make feel to think like that. And when it becomes a natural thing for in our life, satatam, then Krishna says, that is what Krishna mentions in this verse, ananya cheta satatam. You see that first line? That's what it means. If you take the history of all these great devotees, what they have spoken in their spiritual life to Krishna. Different devotees have spoken different things. Whenever you find something that attracts your mind, immediately you should keep it in your mind and you should keep talking about it yourself. This is the way to cultivate bhakti. That these devotees have spoken in this way with Krishna. And that is a good lesson for us, for those who have started spiritual life. For them it's a big direction which way to go. Because otherwise we are blank. How do we react with Krishna? How do you relate with Krishna? That is the only way, follow their footsteps. There is no other way. So, wherever that this mind gets absorbed in this way, the priyam will develop at that point. That's how priyam comes. Priyam means that attachment to Krishna will develop in this way. Attachment to Krishna will develop in this way. And wherever there is priyam, there will be anandam. Bliss will be there. Anandam will be there. So, normally, what happens is, we are running around in the world, outside all the time, thinking that we will have some bliss one day, and therefore we keep our priyam in all the worldly objects, in other people, in other objects in this world. Why we keep priyam there? Because we are thinking that we will get some anandam from that. But this is where, this is a principle, all these are principles of bhakti. When we come to know, there is no anandam anywhere. Anandam is always in the soul, in the Atma. Atma. Only at that time, the priyam will come for Atma. At the moment, we don't have any feeling for Atma. We are thinking that priyam is for the objects in the world outside, or to the people in the world outside, thinking that they will give me happiness one day, anandam from that. But actually, priyam is, can be only in the soul, nowhere else, nowhere else. Because priyam is a swarupam of Atma. Atma swarupam is priyam. Atma's, it is only come from the Atma. Strictly speaking, there is no priyam to anything else in this world. We don't have any priyam anywhere else. It appears like that we have priyam outside to others. So, I think we mentioned this before, in the Brihadaranya Upanishad, where Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to this Maitreyi, Araya Maitreyi, that priyakamaya bhavadi, na patnihu priyakamaya bhavadi. Wife has a love for the husband, not that he is because her husband, not that he is because her husband, because that priyam is coming from the Atma inside. From the Atma that priyam is coming. Because you can see, before the marriage, they didn't know each other. Husband didn't know about the wife, wife didn't know about the husband. So, but because we have attachment towards Atma, our own, everybody in this world, our priyam is towards our Atma. Atma, that is where the priyam is coming from. So, you can see this, a mother who has got priyam towards her child, she won't feel the same priyam towards some other child, isn't it? For another child, she won't feel the same priyam. So, everybody according to their sampradayam in that way, in there, they get priyam towards their own objects where they feel that priyam. Mistakenly, they think that the priyam is coming from the person. Why is that a mother feels priyam towards its child, to the mother's child, and not to another child? Why is it like that? These are controlled from here, inside. Because it has come, it is not that it has come from, sometimes mothers will say, you have come from my womb, therefore I have that attachment. That's not the only reason behind it. That is a external reason. Internal reason is the priyam is coming from the soul. By nature's arrangement, Krishna has put that priyam in the mother's heart so that the child will be protected. That's the only reason why that priyam is coming from the mother's heart to its own child. Because if it was not like that, why is that the mother is not feeling priyam towards another child? It's a logic thing, isn't it? Mother is only feeling priyam or that protective feeling towards its own, mother's own child. Mother's own child, not another child. So the fact is, it's not that the child has come from the womb of the mother, then it is a completely bodily affair. But actually that priyam of the mother is a very pure relationship for the child, but because it has been provided inside by Krishna's arrangement, it's there in the mother's heart, Krishna has kept it there. That's why priyam is coming from the soul. It is the best proof for that. In all cases, relationship with the husband, with the parents, everywhere, priyam is coming from inside, not from the object. We have to always correct this. Because constantly we are thinking that, oh, because it's my wife or it's my husband, I love him or I like him. No, that's nothing to do with that. That's all recently happened in this world. We got married 10 years, 20 years ago, and we started making this loving relationship. But before that, where was the love? Where was it then? You have seen that person before also, but you never felt any love.
Only after somebody said you are husband and you are wife, then he started loving each other. So what does it mean? That priyam is coming from inside, not from the person. That is why, what did the gopi say to Krishna? Isn't it? You remember, in the 10th canto we discussed that. Nitya priye, he says, Nitya priye, padisudadibirarti deikim. Remember that verse? Nitya priye, padisudadibirarti deikim. Gopi said to Krishna, because gopis understood this technique, that priyam is coming from Krishna, from her. Krishna is inside as the soul. He is coming from there. That is coming from there. So priyam is in the Atma, in the soul. That is where it's coming from. And all priyam of that pleasure, what you receive at that time, because inside us there is a vastu there. And that vastu, we have the highest priyam. For the sake of that vastu, we show our priyam to somebody. For the sake of that vastu. For the sake of that vastu. Priyam is our swarupam. That's our swarupam. And in the Taittiriya Upanishad it says, priyam is the head and anandam is the swarupam. Anandam. So, in order to have that blissful experience, priyam is required. That is the reason that if we keep some attachment to some object in this world, we feel some happiness at that time. Isn't it? Some people have different attachments to different things in this world. When you keep that attachment, you feel happy. Anyway, or when you have a nice relationship with someone, then you feel happy inside. Why is that? Because the Atma inside is feeling happy there. Because therefore it is coming from at that time. When you have a relationship with someone in a nice way, then you feel happy. Why? Priyam is coming from inside. So just like sometimes people take small children and kiss them, isn't it? While kissing the child is not happy when you kiss the child. Child feeling that you old man coming and rubbing your face on me and all the beard, everything it on its soft face, it's feeling very uneasy. But where is the happiness coming from? From inside yourself. You get the happiness when you kiss that little child, isn't it? So where is this coming from? That is what you have to look at. Where this priyam is coming from. You feel that it is not for the child's sake you are kissing the child. Child doesn't like it, all that. But we get the happiness. That's why we are kissing the child. Is it not? We think that we are making the child happy by kissing the child. Child will just go. He wants to play. Or he wants to do some nonsense, whatever he wants to do. You're only obstructing his plans. The child doesn't feel any happy. But we think that, oh, child will be happy if I kiss the child. No, child is not happy. Child wants to play. That's what he wants to do. Balastaval, Krira, Sakta. That's all he wants to do. But you are only coming as an obstruction. But when you kiss the child, you are actually getting the happiness. And where is that happiness coming from? Happiness is coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. Only if you understand this principle, bhakti has some meaning. Otherwise, no meaning to bhakti. If you want to understand bhakti, this principle you have to understand. Priyam is coming from the soul. And directing that priyam properly towards others while executing bhakti, at the same time knowing very well where the priyam is coming from, you have to execute bhakti. Otherwise, all our bhakti will be like, you know, we have attachment to so many things in this world. So many objects in this world, we have attachment. Isn't it? So, it will become like that, our bhakti to Krishna also. If you don't understand this principle. Just like we are attached to many things in this world. We like some people, we don't like some other people. Is it not? Some people I like, some people I don't like. If I make my bhakti on the same principle, sometimes I will like Krishna, sometimes I will hate Krishna. This will happen. That is not bhakti. That's not bhakti. This understanding is very important. That bhakti means attachment to the soul. the priyam, that happiness what you get in all relationships, whenever you are feeling happy towards someone, pleasure, it is not coming from that person, it's coming from inside. Only if you take this seriously, bhakti has some meaning. Otherwise, it has no meaning. As it has no meaning, you have to see the source where it's coming from. And these are the examples for that. Bhakti is priyam. Priyam is that bhakti. You're feeling priyam towards all other living entities. Knowing very well, it's coming from inside, from the soul. So, if it is not like that, if it is not like that, that this priyam for Krishna also will be like what we like some people, isn't it? Some people we like, some people we don't like. Similarly, I like Krishna now. Tomorrow I don't know what will happen with him. Whether I'll break my relationship with him, it will become like that. Because why? Because you don't know the principle of bhakti behind it. Whereas bhakti, knowing very well, it's coming from the soul, Antaryami inside, that priyam, and that is Krishna. If in that way, if you approach bhakti, Krishna, it will never fail. It will never break up. Therefore, and because this principle is not understood properly, because it is not understood properly, that is why all religions are fighting each other. They don't understand this principle. Then this bhakti is coming from within, not from outside. Then somebody will say, my God is better than your God. This will start then. Because I like my God, because I was born in that religion, so I like my God. You are born in another religion, so you like your God. And then we'll start fighting each other. This is how religions, because there is no deeper philosophical understanding of these things. Where is it coming from? Bhakti. There is no question, because Krishna within the heart of every living entity, from whom this priyam, which is the nature of Atma, the soul, and that we are putting on somebody and we are seeing that form and accepting that form. On the other hand, if you start thinking Krishna is another person like us, like an individual, he's also a person like me. And if I start keeping my priyam towards him in that way, then my God is different than your God, and there will be arguments. There will be arguments. For example, you can see in some religion, God is a very old person. In some religion, God is a very young person. And in some other religion, they say, God, we are not seen, he doesn't have any form. All these kind of arguments will come from this. So, when you start seeing that the priyam that is coming from the Atma, everything in this world also is a reflection of that medium, of that media inside. Reflection media, that is. Krishna inside the priyam is coming, it is reflecting through somebody to me. Many people whom you... If you keep that principle, there is no possibility of feeling any kind of ragadvesham towards anybody. That means, every living entity, whenever we meet, whatever priyam you feel towards that person, that is coming from Atma inside, from the Atma inside. That person is only reflecting that back to us. Reflecting that back to us. Normally, we give importance to the swabhavam, isn't it, of a person. Behavior or character or whatever we call it. So, swabhavam can change from person to person. Everyone is different in this world. Swabhavam is different. Swarupam is same for everybody. Swarupam is same for everyone. In other words, if you don't look into the swabhavam of a person, only look into the swarupam, there will be no problem. Because swarupam is the same in everyone. So, that is why in Narada Bhakti Sutram, this is what is called bhakti. Narada Bhakti Sutram is what is called bhakti. What is bhakti? Now, this is what we wanted to discuss this, because in Narada Bhakti Sutram, what he said was, he took few great sages, Parashara Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Chandilya Maharshi, and Srinarada Maharshi. All four of them have tried to define what is bhakti. Bhakti is a very difficult thing to define. Is it not? Very difficult thing to define bhakti. So they defined it in this way, that Srinarada Maharshi says there, പൂജാദിഷു അനുരാഗഹ ഇതി പാരാശര്യ. പാരാശര മഹർഷി, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് വേദവ്യാസ മഹർഷിസ് ഫാദർ, ഹി ഹാസ് ഡിഫൈൻഡ് ഭക്തി ആസ് പൂജ, ഡെയ്റ്റി വർഷിപ്പ്, ആൻഡ് അനുരാഗ, അറ്റാച്ച്മെൻറ്റ് ടു ദാറ്റ് വർഷിപ്പ് ഓഫ് ദ ഡെയ്റ്റി എറ്റ്സെട്ര. ഇതി പാരാശര്യ, പാരാശര മഹർഷി ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ അബൌട്ട് ഭക്തി ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ. സോ ഡൂയിങ് വർഷിപ്പ്, ഡെയ്റ്റി വർഷിപ്പ്, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഭക്തി, ഹി സെഡ്. And somebody got attached to that process of bhakti. If you you can see this in this world also, lot of places puja, deity worship is going on. In several temples deity worship is going on, lot of people go there and they sit there and watch the deity worship. In big temples you can see that just watching the deity worship itself is a great pleasure. Very qualified people doing the deity worship, chanting the Vedic hymns and offering different things to the deity, not just the arati alone, or because in many advanced deity worship processes they have a lot of ways of glorifying the deity and offering flowers for every mantra they chant. In that way, worshiping for many hours, and although you are not doing the worship, participating in that worship, sitting there and watching that, and how they dress and how they make the offerings and different things what they do for placing the deity, that deity worship. So lot of people are sitting there and deity worship goes on, abhishekam goes on, and different ways they are decorating the deity, all that thing, people like it. They like to sit and watch. You will see in famous temples in Srirangam and other places, hours and hours it's going on. People are sitting there and just watching that, worshipping the deity. A priyam there. There's also a priyam there. That is one way. Narada Maharshi didn't deny that. He said, that's fine. Then he said, Bhagavad Kadadishu Aniragaha Gargaha. Garga Maharshi. What did he say? He said, hearing about Krishna, Bhagavad Kada. Hearing about Krishna, attachment to that. That is bhakti, he said. Bhagavad Kadadishu Aniragaha Gargaha. Garga Maharshi said this. Who gave Krishna's and Balaram, who were given the names he has given, isn't it? Garga Maharshi has given. So Garga Maharshi said, hearing Bhagavad Katha and constantly hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that is bhakti. Garga Maharshi says like that. So Bhagavad Katha Shravanam, that interest in that is bhakti. Narada Maharshi said no, didn't say no. That's also, he said, accepted. Like Parashara Maharshi said about deity worship, he said accepted. Similarly, sharing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, that is also accepted, he said. Then, then he says, beyond than that Atmaradi Avirodhena Shandilyaha, he says. Shandilya Maharshi's opinion. 3-4 opinions he mentions there in the Bhakti Sutra. Narada Maharshi says, Shandilya Maharshi's opinion is, Atmaradi Avirodhena Shandilyaha. Another opinion. In other words, this comes in the Upanishads also. Shandilya Maharshi says that Atmaradi Avirodhena Shandilyaha. If you get attracted to the soul and enjoying the soul inside, how to enjoy the soul, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, there's a beautiful verse there in the second canto. You may have seen, heard about this Atmarama verse. That is bhakti. ആത്മാരാമശ്ചമുനയോ നിർഗ്രന്ഥ്യഭിരുക്രമേ കുർവന്തി ഹൈതുകിം ഭക്തിം ഇത്ഥം ഭൂതഗുണോ ഹരി. There is a verse in the second canto. ആത്മാരാമശ്ചമുനയോ നിർഗ്രന്ഥി അഭിരുക്രമേ കുർവന്തി ഹൈതുകിം ഭക്തിം ഇത്ഥം ഭൂതഗുണോ ഹരി. That is a famous ആത്മാരാമ verse. ശുഗബ്രഹ്മർഷി mentions there. ആത്മാരാമശ്ചമുനയോ, great sages who have realized the self, what do they do? Kurvandi Haitukim Bhaktim. They execute bhakti simply in absorbed in the soul. Ittham Bhudaguno Hari. After hearing about Hari's different transcendental qualities, they absorb in Krishna through the soul. Engage in the knowing the Andaryami inside. That is their process of bhakti. So you have seen here 3-4 different ways. One group of people through deity worship, another group of people through hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And the Shandilya Maharshi mentions here that Atmaradi Avirodhena Shandilyaha. Atmaradi, that means absorption in the soul. Shandilya Maharshi's opinion. This thing, Atmanati, this is called Shandilya Vidya. There are so many Vidyas in the Upanishads. Vidya means practically like techniques. Shandilya Vidya is one of them. Upakosala Vidya, Dahara Vidya, so many, they are called Vidya. So many methods, so many of them, about 30 or 35 different Vidyas are spoken in the Upanishads. So this is called Shandilya Vidya. Upanishad calls it as Shandilya Vidya. So this principle of bhakti has come from this Shandilya Vidya. Shandilya Maharshi is this Vidya. It is from there that the principle of bhakti has come. It is Shandilya Vidya is the principle behind it. Because Shandilya Maharshi says there, the root of this priyam, what is coming from us towards others, towards other objects and everything. Where is this priyam coming from? For example, suppose you see something nice, you start liking that. A sign of priyam towards that object, isn't it? Priyam towards that object. Where is it coming from? Comes from the soul. It comes from the soul, isn't it? So, Shandilya Maharshi says there, the root of all the priyam is the soul. Soul is the place where it's originating from. Everything is originating from there. So, he says there, you hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, you do your deity worship, but you are doing all that outside, isn't it? You're worshipping the deity outside, and you're hearing about Krishna outside from the Shastram, but and you are hearing about it like you hear the story of another person, like we hear about another great personality in this world. We hear about him, for example. We say for example, we hear about some great politician or a businessman or a famous musician or a sportsman. Naturally, people read about him and find out where he's come from and about his history about him. We like to hear. If like that, you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam also about Krishna. You are hearing in the same way. So, but that way if you hear, it won't work. It will not work. On the other hand, you should not hear about anybody in that way. About Krishna, in that way you should not hear. Like you hear about anybody else in this world, you should not hear. On the other hand, what is the way to hear? You have to hear the person you are hearing about. When you hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, what you have to do, that the Antaryami inside, you have given him a name and a form. You have given him a name and a form. That name and a form is the deity in the temple. Knowing that, it is that Antaryami inside whose story you are hearing. That way, you have to hear. That's the way to hear. You should not hear like the way you hear about somebody else in this world. We are hearing so many people in this world, is it not? That way we should not hear about Krishna. When we hear about Krishna, you should always be conscious that we are hearing about that Antaryami inside. Only thing is, we have given him a name and a form outside. Krishna is the name and Krishna's form. But that person about whom we are hearing is the Antaryami inside me. You see, Antaryami inside. And that tattvam, this is the tattvam. And if you know that, knowing that, and at that time whatever priyam or anandam you are experiencing, or shandi, peace that you are experiencing, if you know that it is coming from the soul, when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, or any other Ramayanam or Mahabharatam, anything, at that time if you are feeling any attachment to that form or the name of that personality whom you are listening about, and if it is bringing some priyam from inside, anandam from inside, shanti from inside, and if you know that it is coming from the soul, then that is bhakti, say Shandilya Maharshi. That is Shandilyas. So, actually, out of all these personality, Narada Maharshi didn't say they are all wrong. What he said was, his father Parashara Maharshi has said like this. Then he said that Garga Maharshi has spoken in this way. And he also, Shandilya Maharshi has spoken like this. And he gave explanation. Shandilya's explanation was the best among all. That's the way he put it. Because this Shandilya Maharshi's explanation is proper bhakti. Other things is also accepted in a level. In a particular level, it is also accepted as bhakti. But they won't become pure till you accept this principle, what Shandilya Maharshi has spoken here. You see, Shandilya Maharshi's words are more important here. You can see he has explained bhakti in the, and it is actually from Shandilya Maharshi this Siddhantam of bhakti has come about. Shandilya Maharshi. This Siddhantam of bhakti has come about. You know who Shandilya Maharshi is, isn't it? Is in the Bhagavatam, you will see him when Garga Maharshi came for the name giving ceremony of. Actually, Garga Maharshi was not willing to do it. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi told Nanda Garga Maharshi that you should give the name to the children, to Krishna and Balaram. So Garga Muni said to them, your guru is actually your Shandilya Maharshi's people. Shandilya Maharshi should be doing this, he said. But instead, and if they come to know, Kamsa come to know that I have come and done this, Kamsa may link that with Vasudeva and Devaki and it will cause problem for them. Nanda Maharaj told, Garga Maharshi said this to Vasudeva, to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Because normally it should have been Shandilya Maharshi who has done this name giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. But because at that time the situation was a little bit troublesome for Krishna and Balaram were growing up here in Gokulam with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And Kamsa was a little bit confused about the eighth child will come and kill you and all that. He was trying to find out who this person is. And he had heard that Vasudeva and Devaki's son he did not know that Krishna and Balaram was Vasudeva and Devaki's children. So if Garga Maharshi initiates them and gives them this name to them, and if the news reaches Kamsa, then Kamsa will put the two and two together and start thinking that why did Nanda Maharaj, because in those days they knew who is their sage, who is supposed to give them, because all of them were there, Shandilya Maharshi was there, Nanda Maharaj, Garga Maharshi was there, and all of them were there. So they knew which lineage you come through, is it not? So therefore, Garga Maharshi warned this to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Nanda Maharaj said to him at that time, okay, if you are fearful about that, I understand your concern, we'll close all the doors and then in the Goshala we will perform the name giving ceremony. So that's why Krishna and Balaram were given the names in the Goshala. Everybody was asked to leave. They didn't want anybody to know that this ceremony has happened inside. Gudho rahasi bhalayo, in the Bhagavatam you will see. Gudham, very confidentially, rahasi bhalayo. Both the children were given the names in the Goshala. They were given the names like that. After that, Nanda Maharaj Garga Maharshi gave the names to Krishna and Balaram and then he left. And then after everybody has gone, all the gopis came back and asked Yashoda, what was going on here? You threw us all out from here, from the house. And what was going on? So Yashoda could not keep it quiet. Yashoda said to them later that they were given the names and it was given in the Goshala and all that. And gopis questioned about that later. Why we were not invited for the birthday party to sing the happy birthday. So all those things have happened there. Anyway, here you can see that that Shandilya Maharshi, that just talking about Shandilya Maharshi, who Shandilya Maharshi is. So Shandilya says to him that when we know that the Priyam is coming from the Atma, wherever we have feeling Priyam, not knowing that it is not coming from that person, it's coming from inside, from the soul. It is coming from the inside soul. And Shandilya Maharshi says there, then that is bhakti. So, and Narada Maharshi says in the Bhakti Sutram that he agrees with that. And then he didn't say anything on his own very much. He didn't say. He made these three mainly. He spoke about bhakti. Later on, Narada Maharshi says a few things. But mainly he took Parashara Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Shandilya Maharshi and Garga Maharshi, all four of them, as the authorities on the Bhakti Sutram, and on based on that he has structured the Narada Bhakti Sutram. So Narada Maharshi says here that after the Narada Maharshi statement, he says there, so in this way, when you develop Priyam towards the Atma, knowing very well that the Priyam is coming from there, without causing any problem with that Priyam that is coming from inside, you should do your worship of Krishna. You should do your worship of Krishna, chant the holy name, engage in meditation. Whatever you do in that way, all the time fully aware that the Priyam is coming from the soul. Priyam is coming from the soul. And the moment you start losing that connection, that the Priyam is coming from the soul, the Priyam goes away towards the object. Towards the object. So, when you feel that the Priyam is not coming from the soul, but it is coming from the object whom you are worshipping, if you start taking like that, that some now and then that the Priyam will go. Priyam will go. For example, a lot of people are doing deity worship in this world, isn't it? Do they really understand what they are doing? Do they? I don't think so. What they are seeing, they are doing it. They have seen something going on in the temple, so let me also get one set, put them at home, and I'll also do everything what they are doing at the temple. They'll buy the books, they'll read it, and they'll dress the deity, they'll cook for the deity, everything. But if you do not know that, if you are getting attracted to that deity worship, even to the deity when that attachment comes, if it does come, knowing very well that deity is the Atma inside, the identity of the deity. Otherwise you will simply see that as the marble only. For years and years you will see that as the marble or the stone, whatever it is. You will simply see it like that, is it not? But that is why Shandilya Maharshi is saying there that you have that Priyam that is coming from in. Everybody has Priyam that's coming from inside. That Priyam that is coming from inside, you are putting onto that form outside. But you have to know very well that Priyam, what you are feeling in the worship of the deity, what you are experiencing at that time, is coming from Krishna inside. Krishna inside here. And so otherwise, if it is coming from the vastu, suppose it's coming from that object which you are worshipping, a form which you are worshipping, when that form goes away, your Priyam will go. Is it not? Suppose you have got some deities, and the deities you are worshipping, and you say, I'm very attached to my deities. Some people say like that, isn't it? I'm very attached to my deities, worship my deity. They carry the deity everywhere because they think like a rule, they keep on worshipping the deity everywhere. But suppose you have taken the deity in an airplane from here to Delhi or something, and on the way deities got lost, the baggage didn't arrive there. And the deities were in the in your suitcase or something. Oh, we'll get another set. It'll become like that. That is not proper deity worship. That is not proper deity worship. That means the understanding is not perfect yet. That worship is good, but to know that whichever form you are feeling some attachment, like you can see in Vrindavanam also, we have Radharaman deity for Gopala Bhatta Goswami and Radha Madan Mohan for Sanatana Goswami, Radha Govindaji for Rupa Goswami. Like that, different Goswamis have given different names to different deities. Is it not? Now, would you think that they are all different personalities? They are not, are they? What has happened is, the same Antaryami inside, Sanatana Goswami has shown that form, called him as Madan Mohan. But he is fully conscious all the time
that Madan Mohan outside is the Antaryami inside. Govindaji outside is the Antaryami inside, Rupa Goswami's. And the Radha Damodar, which was worshipped by Jiva Goswami, he knows very well that Damodar outside is the Antaryami inside. But the deities may externally in our eyes, it may look not big difference, isn't it? Only the size may be different. Otherwise, the dress may be different, crown may be different. Otherwise, just seeing the deities, if you start saying that, oh, he looks like Radha Damodar, he looks like Radha Madan Mohan, it's very difficult to say that, is it not? So the principle behind that is they all have attachment to the form outside, but they know very well that the love for that form is coming from inside. Coming from inside. Otherwise, when that form goes away, your love will also go. Your bhakti will also go along with that way. And that will bring distress to us. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this. Krishna took away the heart of the gopis first. Or to the gopis first. And attracted all of them towards him, to Krishna's form. First, gopis were attracted to Krishna's form. And if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see in the Rasa dance, then we can understand this, that gopis were not ordinary devotees. They were not ordinary devotees because they are themselves saying this, that due to their associations with Krishna, who is Krishna? We may say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is a one explanation of Krishna. There is another explanation of Krishna also. Krishna is also Jagat Guru, isn't it? Krishna Mande Jagat Guru. Jagat Guru means what? He has to get these gopis into spiritual realization, self-realization. So what did Krishna do? Due to association with Krishna, Krishna is a jnani. Self-realized person, is a jnani. Due to that association, they got attracted to Krishna and developed priyam towards Krishna. Priyam towards Krishna. And very close they were, gopis and Krishna. And such people, and those who had gopis, who had such close association with Krishna, they cannot be jnanis. Krishna is a jnani, isn't it? Krishna is the greatest jnani. And when gopis had such close relationship with the jnani, they cannot be a jnani, because jnani's association, what does it do? It creates jnanam inside, in the devotees, isn't it? Jnanam will come to them due to association with the jnani. So Krishna was a jnani. Gopis, maybe in the early days, they got first Krishna pulled them all towards him. And due to that close association with Krishna, gopis have all become jnanis later on. So, and with this relationship with the jnanis, gopis had their priyam towards Krishna. And if they have simply remained as ajnani means in ignorance, then it will not become correct according to Shastram. Ashastriyam it is. Because the rule is, if you are ignorant, or if I am ignorant, and if I have come into contact with a self-realized soul, I should become eventually get realized. If not, it is against the Shastram. Shastram demands that I have to become, especially with Krishna. Because if after coming association with Krishna, if you do not realize the self, then there is something seriously wrong with the Shastram then. Question will come like that. Oh, therefore you can see that very soon, by the time Rasa dance stage came in Krishna's relationship with the gopis, gopi says like this, Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehina mandaralma drikka vighana sartido vishwaguptaye sakhamudeivan satvadam kule. In the Gopika Gita, you will see these words. Can you imagine, gopis who have not studied any shastram, not performed any sacrifices or penances or anything, they are saying, Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan, you are not the son of Mother Yashoda or any gopi. Then what are you? Akhila dehinam andaralma drikka. You are the andaralma or andaryami of every Akhiladehinam, all living entities. To say this for the gopis, if there was no knowledge, how could they have said this? Is it not? It makes logical. It's more logical that way to understand that. Akhiladehinam andaralma drk. And andaralma and the drk inside. Vikhanasartido vishyaguptaye sakhamudeivan satvadam kulim. So that one verse is indicating to us, this gopis rasa dance with Krishna, Krishna's going to Mathura and sending Uddhava to Vrindavanam to pacify the gopis. All this has great spiritual message in that. It is just not stories alone. If it is just stories, it would not have been given so much importance. Because there is so much spiritual message involved in that, understanding the gopis' state, Krishna's relationship with the gopis, everybody will ask this question. Vrindavan to Mathura is only 10 kilometers. Whatever may be the distance, it's not very long. Now, when Krishna went to Mathura, people ask this question, why could not gopis could have gone and got him there if they were so attached to Krishna? But they didn't go. And then Uddhava had to come from there. I mean, all the gopis were young. They were not so old that they couldn't walk 10 kilometer distance. Even if there was no transport, I'm saying. They could have gone if they were so. Those gopis who could leave their husbands, children, parents, everything and came to see Krishna. Can you believe that they didn't go to Mathura after him? It's a question to ask, is it not? Otherwise it doesn't make any logical. That they left home everything, parents everything, children also. And basically you can imagine at that time in the society how rigid it was that you left home, the women could not go back to the home again, isn't it? Parents will reject, everybody will reject them. That they're gone like that. Nowadays may not, but them days it was like that. So therefore you can imagine that gopis were like that. And that gopis, they couldn't go to Mathura from Vrindavan. That is difficult to believe that. So reason for that is, that is why you have to study that 10th canto very well. Because when you understand that, then this principle, that Antaryami principle will understand. That is only to get this Antaryami principle into gopi's mind, Krishna has done all these things. There is no time Krishna says, I am separated from you. They send the message to Vrindavanam through Uddhava, isn't it? That was the message sent to whom? To the gopis. Uddhava came there and then they complained to Uddhava. Uddhava spoke a lot of things. And you start wondering, for 10 kilometer distance, you have to have all this go through. It becomes quite a logical thing to ask at that time. But when you study Bhagavatam, you will understand that it makes sense. That Krishna had something to teach the gopis. And he had to go to do all these things. That eventually gopis got the message. That's why after when they have understood it properly, they never felt the separation from Krishna. Krishna went to Mathura, then from there he went to Dwaraka, and then they went to Sananda Panchakam later, isn't it? To Kurukshetram for the solar eclipse and all that. Gopis went to solar eclipse, but they didn't go to Dwaraka any time to going after Krishna. Krishna got married, Krishna had many wives and lived in Dwaraka, but never once it was on the platform of the body. Gopis have gone beyond that because they have, by now, they have gone so far in their realizations. That means at an early age itself they have realized. That is why during the rasa dance, what did they say? Nitya priye padisudadi birarti dei kim. Gopi says there, isn't it? Nitya priye padisudadi birarti dei kim. This, we have understood one thing. Imagine, these are teachings from the gopis to the world. Gopis are saying to us, nitya priye, that if any priyam has to be there anywhere, it has to be here. To you who is inside me. Otherwise, pati sutadibi artidei kim, he says. What is the point in having all this attachment, priyam, towards the husband, towards the children, and it will all at the end ends up as arti. Arti means distress. It will only end up as distress, says the gopis to Krishna. All these are indicating to us that gopis were jnanis. They had the full realization of the truth where Krishna is, where they were talking about it. So, ananya cheta sadadam
യോ മാം സ്മരതി നിത്യശ തസ്യാഹം സുലഭ പാർത്ഥ നിത്യയുക്തസ്യ യോഗിനാഹം. സോ ദേർ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദാറ്റ് ഗോപീസ് ഡിഡ് നോട്ട് കീപ് ദർ അറ്റാച്ച്മെന്റ് ടു എനിത്തിങ് എൽസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ്. They didn't keep any attachment. That's why in the Bhagavatam, they mentions there, Kurvandihi Tvairadim Kushalasya Malman Nitya Priye Padisudad Birartideikim. We discussed these verses when we talked about Rasa dance, isn't it? So they are asking here at the Rasa dance time, gopis are saying, Jnanis, that's what they, Kurvandihi Tvairadim Kushalasya Malman. Jnanis are very clever people, gopis are saying here. Because the jnanis, what they do, they have priyam towards their wife, their husbands, children and all that. They do not keep their priyam towards them very much. On the other hand, they normally keep their priyam nitya priye pati sudadi birarti daikim. Therefore, they are very clever, he says. They are very clever. Gopi's opinion. He says, Jnanis are like this, he says. Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasya malpman nitya priye padisudha adibirarti daikim. Very important thing. Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasya malpman. They are very kushala. Kushala means very clever, experts. Why? Because kurvandihi, they develop their priyam towards you. To Krishna, says to him. Kurvandihi tvai radhim. Radhi is towards tvai, towards you. Kushalasya malpman. Because they know that you are the Atma inside everybody. Kurvandihi tvai radhim kushalasya malpman nitya priye. And permanently their attachment is towards you. Because they know pati sudhadibir arti daikim. What is the point in keeping priyam towards husband, wife, children and all that? Because that all brings at the end distress. At the end, it's all bringing distress. So, therefore, they give the clarification there. Towards you, they are saying to him. And that is the word Atman. In other words, saying to Krishna, you are the soul of everybody. You are the soul of everybody. Yesterday also we were discussing this, isn't it? You mentioned that this conception about the soul, what is mentioned there, and if you look into that chapter, Nature, Enjoyer and Consciousness, that is, I think it's the 13th chapter. You will see Prabhupada mentioning there also in that chapter, I think somewhere he mentions that in order to execute bhakti, that one has to take that relationship in that way. Yeah, if you look into the verse 12 in the 13th chapter, verse 12. If you read through, it's a long purport there of the verse, that is three verses, I think. Yeah, 8 to 12, a long purport, isn't it? 8 to 12. In that purport, if you go back towards the end, the third paragraph from the end of that verse, third paragraph from the end, it begins with, as far as self-realization is concerned, that verse, that paragraph, you read that through. It says here, as far as self-realization is concerned, it's clearly stated here, that Bhakti Yoga is especially practical. As soon as there is a question of devotion, one must consider the relationship between the super soul and the individual soul. The individual soul and the super soul cannot be one, he says. At least not in the Bhakti conception. Yes. In the Bhakti conception, no, it cannot be the one. So, it is based on the conception that it changes. Whereas in the Jnanam conception, it is one. You should not ask the question which is correct, that is meaningless. That question is meaningless. You are following a spiritual process, Jnanamargam or Bhakti Margam, doesn't matter. So, all the time this question comes up, isn't it? People always ask this question, is it one or is it two?
As though that's the only thing that's causing the problem in spiritual life.
That's one or two. That is no meaning. He's probably saying here, not in the bhakti conception. In other words, indirectly Prabhupada is saying in another conception it is there. Is it not? He's saying there, individual soul and the super soul cannot be one, at least not in the bhakti conception. But if you read Bhagavatam now, you can see gopis are saying to Krishna, Nitya Priya. What does he say? Yeah. Kurvandhi toiradim kushalasyam altman. Addressing the Atma inside as Krishna. Kurvandhi toiradim kushalasyam altman. Nitya priye padisuda dimirarti daikim. If you read Bhagavatam many times, you will see this kind of statements in so many places addressing Krishna as the soul of everyone, individual, as the soul inside. Never it mentioned separately. So that is because in the Jnanama, actually in reality it is like that. But when you follow as a devotee, you have to feel that separation, Krishna and me separately. Otherwise, how can you say to Krishna that we will misunderstand things? That's why it is spoken like that. Individual soul and the super soul cannot be one, at least not in the bhakti conception. Not in the bhakti conception. Devotional conception of life. So that is, in bhakti stage it may be necessary to be like that, but that does not mean that all the great jnanis, otherwise you'll have to reject everybody. If you have to reject so many people in spiritual life, we have to work like that. So that is a way to understand that. Otherwise, it is a bit of a difficult situation. So anyway, for bhakti, cultivation bhakti, that is necessary. You have to be always separately from Krishna as a devotee. But whatever Krishna takes you at the end, who knows what will happen to anybody. So, kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasyam altman. Nitya praye padisuda dibirati deikim. So they mention here, these are people very clever, who jnanis, gopis are talking about. They say they love only Atma. Their priyam is always towards the Atma, nothing towards anything outside. So therefore they are kushalaha. Kushalaha, they are clever, they are very expert. Kushala means, we have seen before what kushala words means, isn't it? Darbhagras, when you, brahmacharis, that's where this word kushala has come from. Brahmacharis goes to the forest to collect the kushagras, and while cutting the kushagras, they cut their fingers. There is a peculiar way of cutting the kushagras, and you become expert at that. Then, so if you become expert in cutting kushagras without getting hurt, without the blood coming out, because it's sharp at the edges, if you learn that, how to do it, there's a way of cutting that. Once you have learned that, you are called kushala, because you have become expert in cutting the kushagras. That's the word, the kushala has come. And from there, that expertise word has become kushala for anything else also. Some skill if you develop, we will say in Sanskrit, you will say, you are kushala, you are expert at it. So that's why it has happened. So here you can see, while living in this world, without any attachment anywhere, and live in this world like a block of wood, that is not possible, is it? If somebody tells you, oh, you can't have any attachment towards anybody, only, I am only attached to Krishna, I'm not attached to anybody else. If you say like that, very soon you will be thrown out from here, from this world. Nobody will accept that, is it not? So, we'll become like a block of wood or a stone in that way. But what gopis are saying to us is that, that do not get attached to anybody and eventually develop that attachment which will turn into distress at the end, at the distance. So, you have to, when you are experiencing towards somebody, when it happens, you have to keep that priyam at the same time. You have to know that it is upadhi sambandham. That is what they say in the Shastra. Upadhi sambandham. Upadhi sambandham means what? Upadhi sambandham means that shariram, body, mind, intelligence, ego, these are all our upadhis, isn't it? You have to know that the priyam is not towards the upadhi, rather towards that Atma who is in that person. Atma is inside, the priyam is coming from there. And when you feel same priyam towards another person, instead of projecting that priyam towards that body, the mind, intelligence or anything, rather you should know very well, the priyam that is coming from inside is the priyam towards the soul, Krishna, who is present inside that person. It's a long way to go there. But that is the way to deal with it. That is what Bhagavatam is saying, gopis are saying to us. Kurvandihi toiradim kushalasya marman. Similarly, when you cut the darbha grass without cutting the fingers, in the same way, you have to deal with other people in this world. In other words, that element of priyam, we have to know how to deliver that to others. In the same way, like they are able to cut the grass cleverly, in that kushalata, cleverness in cutting the grass, in the same way, when we experience priyam towards others, we also have to bear in mind at the same time that priyam that is coming from inside is not towards projected on the form or the body or the mind or intelligence, rather projected on to Krishna's presence inside that person, in which case it will not develop into a distress later. This is the principle. This is the principle behind it. So, and then such a person is kushala. That is what gopis are saying here. Kurvandihi toiradim kushalasya malman. Identifying Krishna with the soul first. Krishna is the Atma inside. And it is that same Atma who is present in another person. So when you project your priyam towards that person, it should not go and fall on the body or the mind or the intelligence. Rather, Krishna who is present inside, from whom the priyam has come, it should go into the same priyam towards the same person inside the other object also. That's what gopis are saying in that words. Kuruvandihi toiradim kushalasya malman nitya priye patisudadibir arthidei kim. Mentions there, is it not? So, it is the same, keeping the same principle in Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna uses the word kushala. Have you seen that word in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna uses the word kushala. Where does he say that? Yoga karmasu kaushalam, he says. Isn't it? Somewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, third chapter, you will see Krishna saying, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Yoga karmasu kaushalam means that that if you perform karmam in this world, what is the immediate effect? Immediate effect is bhalecha. You want the results, isn't it? And desire will come from inside. Desire will come for the results. And you perform karmam here. At the same time, if you do not execute karmam, what's the problem? Karma vasana won't go. It has become a vasana. That means karmam has to be performed. So, there is two sides to it now. If you execute karmam, the problem is bhalecha, or the desire for results will be there. That means desire will come up first. That's one problem. And on the other hand, suppose you decide not to execute the karmam so that you don't get such a desire for the results, then your karma vasana won't go. So both also, karmam is a big handicap, isn't it? Big problem that is. So therefore, we have to execute karmam. At the same time, we should not get bound by karmam. You have to execute karmam. At the same time, you should not get bound by karmam. So, that means the existing karma vasana has to go from inside and it has to get purified. That is the idea behind executing karmam, like karma yoga we say, isn't it? So, any karmam, when it is executed in that way, karma vasana is getting dissipated. In that way, it becomes karma yoga. And at the same time, one who is able to do that, Krishna calls it as kushala. Yogam karmasu kaushalam. What was that verse? It says there, yeah. Bhuktayukto jahadiha ubhaye sukrata duskrde tasmad yogaya yujyasya yoga karmasu kaushalam. 250. Second chapter, 50th verse. So you can see that Krishna uses the word, same word here also, kaushalam. You can see that in the, say, in the bhakti process, what we have talked about so far, karma yogam, how that happens. Second chapter, verse 50. Buddhi yukto jahadiha ubhe sukrata duskrde tasmad yogaya yujyasva yoga karmasu kaushalam. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. So, a man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. Art of all work. So, that verse is, buddhi yukto jahadiham ubhe sukrata duskrde tasmad yogaya yujyasva yoga karmasu kaushalam. That is the principle of the karma yogam. Karma yogam is meant for, on the one hand, we have to get rid of all the karma vasana from inside. On the other hand, that you have to execute that karma without getting attached to it. This is yoga karmasu kaushalam. Two things there. One side, we have to get rid of all the karma vasana from inside. Therefore, we have to engage in karma. On the other hand, while executing this karma, we should not get attached to anything. Without getting attached to it. If it is done like that, Krishna is saying that karma yogam is kaushalam, is clever. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. So, in the same way, gopis are saying here, you have to take the priyam, what you feel towards others, but you should know that priyam is coming from the soul, from the atma. It's coming from the soul. At the same time, to the name and form, you should not get attached in the world. That is proper priyam. That means, whatever you have to do for others, you should do it, not thinking with the namarupam. Namarupam means that the name, oh, it is my wife or it's my husband, therefore I am doing this. And that means attached to that body or the person. But on the other way, priyam, if you are feeling towards someone, it is coming from Krishna inside. Knowing that very well, and at the same time, to keep this in mind, that gopis are saying here, that priyam is coming from the soul, and at the same time, it should not develop into attachment or sticking to the namarupam, name and the form. And without getting attached to namarupam, you will see in the Bhagavatam this mentioned in many places, namarupam vihaya. Name and form is, when can you keep it like that? Only in every living entity, in every other living entity, only when you start recognizing Krishna's presence inside that person, then priyam will come to that person. Otherwise, if it is not like that, you can only keep your attachment to the name and form. Till you recognize Krishna's presence in another living entity, you won't be able to give that priyam to Krishna. You will get attached to the name and form. You will get attached to the name and form. So, suppose you have seen somebody and some priyam has come from inside towards that person. What will happen? You will go and stick to that person. Go and stick to that person. So, only when we know how to take that vastu from inside, and only when we know it is up to that vastu that priyam is coming from that vastu that priyam is coming from, at that point you will be able to keep that priyam without sticking to anybody. Without sticking to anybody. It's a very fine principle, but one has to practice it and see how far one succeeds in that. But in principle, it is the correct thing to do. That's the correct thing to do. That's all we can say. How far you will succeed in that depends on various other reasons. Suppose you have a lot of prarabdham with somebody, you're stuck in that prarabdham, then it may not happen easily. That prarabdham will win there. Your priyam and all won't work there. It will all fail. Prarabdham will take control of that. But the main principle is, from the Shastram is telling us, that is the way to be connected to this world. Only in this way, not any other way. Not any other way. So they give the example that the hamsam, the bird, hamsa pakshi, swan, if you keep the milk and the water together, how it knows how to separate the milk from the water. Similarly, gopis also kept their priyam towards Krishna initially, isn't it? But Krishna left them all, Vrindavanam, and went to Mathura. Suppose gopis were completely ignorant people. Suppose they were ignorant, what they would have done? They would have gone after Krishna to Mathura, would they not? But they didn't go. They would have gone to Dwarka, they didn't go. They didn't go there. They stayed in Vrindavanam. Because although they have attachment to Krishna's name and form, Namarupam, Krishna's name and form, they had attachment inside them. Therefore burning because of that, attachment to that form. But if it was attachment only to the name and form, then if you have seen Krishna again, that distress would have gone away from them, is it not? Suppose if the attachment was only towards the name and form of Krishna, then the attachment, once they have seen Krishna, that should have gone away from them, isn't it? But it didn't go, because they know very well that's also not permanent. It is at that time that Krishna sends Uddhava to talk to the gopis. And through Uddhava, Krishna sends a big message there in the Bhagavatam. And while sending that message, Krishna says to the gopis, your priyam should stay in the soul, in the Atma alone. It is only for that purpose I have left you. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see those verses in the 47th chapter. Uddhava delivering the message to gopis. And Uddhava says to the gopis that this message Krishna has sent it through me, and says to them, I have been sent here to tell you that I have left you only for one reason, that so that your priyam that's coming should stay to the soul alone. Because by now, gopis have said all this, Nakhila Gobiya Nandano Bhavan, Nakhila Dehina Mandar Alma Drik. That means gopis has both things going on side by side. Inside, the knowledge was there that Krishna is the soul, that's where the priyam is coming from. Simultaneously, they had attachment to the name and form of Krishna. Krishna's name and Krishna's form. And they were in that state. So at that time, Krishna left them and went to Mathura. And from Mathura, he sent this message to Uddhava, to the gopis, to tell them that I've deliberately stayed out of your vision so that you don't get attached to my name and form, rather get attached to me, who is the soul of everybody. In that level, they wanted the relationship. Krishna wanted the relationship with the gopis. So Uddhava comes there and says to them, so after they have executed their name and form and given attention to that and continued their worship in that way continuously, ultimately they started realizing that that vastu they are worshipping is the same vastu who is inside as Antaryami. This is the most difficult thing. We go to the temple, we see the deity. What do we understand about deities? Oh, you say, oh, it's a nice dress today Krishna is having. And we make some comments like that. And then we go home. And we sing and dance and we gone home. And we are thinking, oh, Krishna is there at the temple. We'll come another day, I'll come and see you another day when I come suitable. But that is not how to see the deity. When you're seeing the deity also, this understanding has to grow inside. That deity who is standing there, that name and form is nothing but a reflection of the Antaryami inside. That is proper way to see the deity. He is the same person who is inside me is standing there in that form outside. And when we get to know like that, so Uddhava brought this message to him, and message was, Uddhava says to gopis, my form, you can always see me. It's not a big problem. Anytime if you want to see me, you can see my form. But the problem is, if I keep my form in front of you, you'll always be attached to that form. It happened to Vasudeva and Devaki also. Is it not? Why Bhagavatam is telling us all these things? To make us aware
that spiritual life, we have to know these subtleties. Otherwise, simply getting attached to the form outside and thinking that this is my spiritual life, this is my spiritual life, and not able to move away from that, come to the proper understanding. Like gopis had the same problem like Vasudeva and Devaki had. And when Krishna appeared, Krishna said to the Vasudeva and Devaki, what did he say? He said to them that Yuvamam Putra Bhavena. Putra Bhavena means my name and form, isn't it? That form of child, my child. Yuvamam Putra Bhavena, that's okay. But Brahma Bhavena Chasakrat, realize that I am Brahmam. That understanding didn't happen to Vasudeva and Devaki. So therefore, at the very end, Krishna had to send Sri Narada Maharshi to educate them properly. And then Narada Maharshi spoke this conversation between Nimi and Navayogi. All that in the Bhagavatam, you know how it happened. Same thing with the gopis also. Krishna is saying to them, if I have stayed in front of you all the time, you will simply see me in that form all the time, thinking that I am this form, I am this form, and this is Krishna, this is his form. Attachment will not develop in the proper way as the Antaryami inside. That is the most difficult thing, to develop that Antaryami understanding. So he says here, so therefore, I got you attached to me, and I pulled you out of the world, first thing. That's what Krishna has done to them. Krishna pulled them out of the world, isn't it? So, and I pulled you out of the world, and because otherwise you'll get stuck in that situation. Then that priyam that you have felt for me, it has to now shift towards the Antaryami inside. Therefore, I have left you and come away from that. Krishna, this is the Krishna's message in the Bhagavatam, in that 47th chapter you can see. If you read Uddhava delivering the Krishna's message, there's only about 7 or 8 verses in there, which we have looked at before. So, so that sandesham, that message was brought there, and that name and form which they have worshipped before, eventually, after continuing their worship for a very long period of time, they started realizing it is that Krishna whom they were worshipping is the Antaryami inside. When that happens, that is called Ananya Bhakti. You see? You remember that word? Ananya Cheta Sadatam Yomam Smaradi Nityasha Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yoginam. Only when you reach that state, you can say that your bhakti is Ananya Bhakti. Otherwise, it is not. Till time when you are seeing the deity in the temple separately from you, you are seeing so many other pictures and forms, everything outside, separately, outside, 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 everything outside in different forms and different places, that is not Ananya. When does it become Ananya Bhakti? When you start seeing, like the gopis have seen at the end, that the form that they were after and the name they were after, Namarupam, that Krishna whom they have eventually understood, Akhila Dekhina Mandra, that shows that at that stage gopis had both going. Inside they knew Krishna is the Akhila Dekhina Antaratma Drik. Inside he is the Antaratma Antaryami. Gopis knew that. And then Krishna went to Mathura, and this conception inside gopis, that Krishna, we love Krishna's name and form of Krishna. They had that loving relationship with Krishna in that way. Krishna broke that when he went to Mathura. It was broken. So there is no more person in front of Krishna, in front of the gopis. He sends Uddhava to them. Uddhava comes and says to the gopis that I have this message from Krishna, 47th chapter. And Uddhava says to them, to the gopis, Krishna has told me to tell you that he does not want to be in front of you, because if you see him in the same way like before, your attachment to the form will start building up rather than the essence inside. Rather, he wants you to develop this attachment towards Krishna who is Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. Uddhava does it in a very nice way, because what happened was when Radharani and the gopis spoke about that, Uddhava says to them, remember long ago what happened when there was a big forest fire happened. So they were all standing there, Munjadavi, and the forest fire was all around. Krishna says to the gopis, close your eyes, he said. Gopis closed all their eyes.
And then, you should only open the eyes when I tell you to open, he said. After a while, Krishna told them to open the eyes. When they opened the eyes, they were all far away from the fire. Fire was burning somewhere, they were standing, they didn't know anything what has happened. So do you remember this incident Uddhava said to Radharani? Radharani said, yes. So similarly, close your eyes now, Uddhava says to the gopis. Gopis closed their eyes. Now what's happening? They started seeing Krishna inside at that time. Krishna was inside there. So when they started seeing Krishna inside, they realized Krishna has not left us. Up to that time they were complaining, Krishna has left, Krishna has left. Where is Krishna left? Krishna has not left anywhere. Krishna is there very much though, inside. Only thing, it was not standing outside, it was standing inside now. That is the only difference. At that time, gopis understood that Krishna had sent Uddhava only for this purpose, to make gopis realize that no time Krishna has not left gopis nor any one of us in that way. Krishna is always present inside. Krishna, only thing is, we don't have that awareness. When that awareness happens, Krishna says, Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasha. That is that verse Krishna is talking about. We'll see after a few minutes again. So, we were discussing about this message, isn't it? From Krishna's message to gopis. The message in the Bhagavatam is like this. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham. Verse chapter 47, verse 29. Bhavati nam viyogomi nahi sarvalpana kvachil yada bhudani bhudeshu khamva yagnir jalam mahi tada ham jamana pranam bhudendriya guna shrayam alpanye valpman alpmanam srijehan anubalaye alpma maya anubhavena bhudendriya guna alpmana alpma jnanamaya shuddho Vyadirikto agunanvaya sushupti sopnam jagradbir maya vritti bhiriyatim yen indriyarthan dhyayedam rasha sopna vaduthida tanirudhyad indriyani vinidra pratyabadhyada yedadanda samamnayo yoga sankhyam manishinam tyagastapo dama satyam samudrandam ivapagaham yadvaham bhavadinam vai dure varte priyodrasham Manasa sanigarshartham madhanudhyana kamyayam yatha durajare preshte manam avishyavartade strinam janatha cheda sanigrashte chigochare maya avishyamane krishnam vimukta shesha vrtiyal anusmarandyam mam madnityam ajiran mam upeshyada ya maya kridada yatrayam vanesmin brajama astidaha alabdharasa kalyanyo maborma dvirya chindayam. All these are the verses, that is from verse 29 to 37, nine verses, is the message which Uddhava has taken to the gopis and says to them that, Krishna says to them, Bhavadivinam yogome nahi sarvalpana kochil yada bhudani bhudeshu khamva yagnir jalam mahi. Krishna says to them that Upadana Karanam, I am, when Krishna says this, Upadana Karanam means, if you look into the creation, there is a cause behind creation. Sarvakarana Karanam is Krishna, isn't it? Sarvakarana Karanam is Krishna, cause of all causes. In what sense? That from soul, everything has come. Krishna is talking as the soul now, not as the person, as the Supreme Lord, as we address as Bhagavan in that way. But as the soul of everyone, he is speaking to the gopis, he is saying to them that all the five material elements, kham vayu agnir jalam mahi, yada bhudani bhudeshu kham vayu agnir jalam mahi. So all these five material elements, they have their properties and qualities due to Krishna's presence in them. If Krishna is not present there, material qualities, material elements have no function, they cannot function together. They cannot function together. Similarly, Krishna is the cause of everything else. Which one? Mind, the pranam, the life air, intelligence and senses. Three modes of material nature. Everything is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source. Krishna is saying here that there is no question of you being separated from me any moment. First thing, please understand that, gopi. Then, Altmanyev Altman, verse 30. Altmanyev Altman Altmanam. Srijehan Manupalaye Atma bhayanu bhavena bhudendriya guna almana. Then, in the Atma, while in this platform of the soul, being situated in the platform of the soul, Atma alone is able to create the senses, material elements, and modes of nature, everything. It's all happening within the Atma. Soul is the background of everything, is it not? We have seen this many, many times. We have spoken. The screen is the soul. In that screen, all these things are happening. Mind is coming, intelligence is coming, gross bodies are coming, three modes of material nature is happening. Everything is happening, but the background is the soul. That's what Krishna is saying here. Atmanyev atmanam atmanam saje anmanubalaye atmamayanubhavena bhudendriya gunashraya. Guna, Budendriya, Guna Almana, Alma. Then Krishna says, Alma. What is that Alma? Yanamayo Shrad Shuddho Vidirikto Agunanvaya. He says here, then, that Alma Surubam is knowledge. Alma Surubam is knowledge, Jnana Surubam. That is what he says here, Alma Jnanamayam. Jnanam is knowledge. The Surubam of Alma is knowledge. Knowledge is the Surubam of Alma. Alma Jnanamayam. What else? Shuddho. It's always pure. Nitya Mukta Shuddha Mukta Surubam. You can never contaminate soul with anything else. It's always pure, isn't it? Vedirikto Agunanyayam. So, at the same time, Vedirikta. Vedirikta means that it is never able to mix with anything. It's always separate. Things may happen, but it's not contaminated any time. Three modes of material nature is working, but Atma is independent. But three modes of nature is working because of the presence of Atma. That's what it is. Vedriktam gunanvayam. Gunanvayam. Then what else? Sushupti sopnam jagratbir mayavrti biriyate. He says here that that Atma, because mayavrti, mayavrti means this three modes of material nature, because of that, in sushupti and Sopnam Jagrat, three states it comes because of the three modes of material nature. It comes to the Atma. And when it comes to the Atma, three modes of nature, we call him as Vishwan, Taijas and Prajnan. According to the modes of nature, according to the state, Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti. When all these things are happening, Atma is not affected by anything. These are all things which comes and goes. They never stay. Jagrat comes, goes away. Supnam comes, goes away. Sushupti comes, goes away. So that's what Krishna is sending. This is what Krishna's message to the gopis. So you can see here itself that Krishna has no intention to show his form and to get gopis attracted to that. Rather, Krishna was more interested in getting the message through to them. Otherwise, what will happen? When the form disappears, you start crying. When the form comes back, you start laughing. When the form goes away, that's not self-realization, is it? Suppose you have self-realized in the form, and in the form goes away, if you are feeling miserable, then where is the self-realization? Proper self-realization is realizing the self. What is that self inside? What we are talking, that is Krishna inside, that realization itself. Though Atma Jnanamaya Shuddham Vedinitu Agunanvaya Sushupti Sopnam Jagratbir Maya Vrithi Bhiriyade. That's all Maya's activities. Due to that, it is happening. And Yendriyarthan Dhyayadam Rusha Sopnavadutida Tani Rudhyad Indriyani Vinidra Pratyabhadhyada. So one who has woken up from the dream state, what does he do? He comes to his understanding that it was a dream state he was experiencing. Similarly, when self-realization happens, Krishna says here that that he comes out of that, all the objects, what he was experiencing through the senses and which he was meditating, sense gratification or sense enjoyment, what he was experiencing before, that he should control that mind at that stage when he has woken up from to the platform of the knowledge. The mind will automatically go away because mind will not have any more senses to gratify anything. Tanirudhya indriyani vinidra pratyapatyada edad anda samam amnayo yoga sankhyam manishanam tyagas tapas damam satyam samudrandam vivabhaga. So a Vedam is talking about this. Krishna is saying here that his whole place based on this, getting this mind under control. Mind under control. Just like all the yoga systems, what we practice, when the rivers goes to the sea, similarly, it all yoga system ends up in the control of the mind. And then they say to them that yatvaham, the 34th verse, he says, yatvaham bhavadinam vai dure varte priyo drisham manasa sanigarshartam madanudhyana kamyaya. He says to them that the deliberately I have kept myself away from you for the sake of manasa sanigarshartam, only because madanudhyana kamyaya. Only if I stay away from you, you will think about me. Otherwise, dhyanam won't happen. Dhyanam means meditations. Won't happen. Yatha durajare preshte mana avishya vartate srinamchana tatha cheda sannigrishtevshi gochare. So, when the husband is away, the wife's thoughts will go after the husband when he is away from there. It won't be as intense as when he is with the wife. So, it will not happen in the same way. Mayavishya manakrishna vimuktashesha vrittiyan anusmarandhyam maam nityam ajinan maam upayishyada. When all the chitavritti goes away from the mind, you completely surrender unto me and very soon you will come back to me. Krishna mentions this. Ya maya krida dharatrim vanesmin mrajama astida alabdharasa kalyanyom apur apur madvirya chindayam. Then, addressing the gopis, Krishna says to them that just because their husbands have stopped you from coming from home and you have stayed at home, and although you are present with me in Vrindavanam in those days when rasa dance happened, but you have managed to come back to by thinking about me all the time, you have come back to me, you always retained your connections with me. So Krishna sent the message to the gopis in this way to them that gopis immediately remembered Krishna in that way, because when rasa dance happened, gopis came to realize that Krishna's presence as Andaralma, isn't it? Makhalu gopigan andano bhavan akhila dehinam andaralmadrak. So Krishna is saying to gopis that if I am present there all the time, you won't remember, think about me. When I separate myself from you, that you will think about me. In other words, my attention will go towards me, and that realization what you had during the rasa dance, that I am the soul, Andaryami, everybody, that will come back to you. In that way, Krishna basically wanted to bring them back to that understanding to the gopis, rather than getting attracted to the form. So here you can see Krishna says to this message to the gopis, so that when that happens, it is called Ananya Bhakti. So, when does bhakti becomes Ananya Bhakti? That is the question. This verse is saying about Ananya Bhakti, isn't it? Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasha Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. That is the verse, isn't it? Ananya Cheta Satatam. Only when it comes to the relationship with Andaryami, it will become Ananya Bhakti. Narada Maharshi says in the Bhakti Sutram, Anya Ashrayanam Thyagaha Ananyaha. That is the definition. Anya Ashrayanam Thyagaha Ananyaha. What does that mean? Anya Ashrayanam Thyagaha Ananyaha. When will the Bhakti become Ananya Bhakti? That is the question. When that ananyatvam will come to bhakti. In other words, when we become completely in Krishna's shelter, or our dependence on Krishna is complete, ashrayam. Ashrayam means total Krishna shelter. When that happens, that is ananya bhakti. And that is the reason in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the last canto, 12th canto, is called ashrayam. Ashrayam of Krishna. When you take total ashrayam, total shelter of Krishna, that is Ananya Bhakti. And in other words, to stress the point again, it says only Krishna is the shelter. One should not take shelter of anything else in this world. That is the message. That is why after Ekadasha Skandam, they kept this Dwadasha Skandam. For this reason only. That even after liberation,
Shelter, if there is any shelter, if one has to take, shelter should be Krishna. Only Krishna should be the shelter, no other shelter. No other shelter. What do? Everything else in this world, what is called dravyam. Dravyam means all the material things, what we have in this world. All of them is for vyavaharam. All of them is for vyavaharam. What do? We take the shelter of vastu, anitya vastu, isn't it? Anitya vastu, and we do vyavaharam with Krishna. Everything goes wrong there. Is it not? Somehow that is what the reality is in this world. We may say so many things, so I am taking Krishna shelter, I am taking, I am completely dependent on Krishna, and all people will say like that. But you can see in reality, when it comes to one's own life is concerned, there comes a point that we always try to think, ultimately, oh, the bank account is there. The money is there in the bank. So, directly opposite it has become. The message is, nitya vastu, you should take the shelter. Anitya vastu, you should use for vyavaharam. This clarification is very difficult to get it in practice. In life, is it not? So, but that is the message. Nitya vastu for shelter. What is nitya vastu? Soul. That is only nitya vastu, isn't it? Nitya vastu for shelter. World is for vyavaharam. What we do, world is for shelter. Vastu is for vyavaharam. This is where all the problem comes in spiritual life. Everywhere, it's like that. Everywhere, people are doing the same thing. Then everybody says that Krishna is for our business. And shelter is for the salary. Shelter is for the salary. So, anitya dravyam. So, this principle, anitya vastu is for, anitya means temporary things. Anitya vastu is for vyavaharam. Nitya vastu is for shelter. So, if you take the shelter of anitya vastu, and do business, nitya vastu vyavaharam, if you do that, how will it work? It will be like this. Money in the bank, you have to take it and use it for vyavaharam. You have to use it for vyavaharam. You should never take shelter of that, the money in the bank. And that, therefore, that you can take it and use it for, it's only worthwhile, useful for that purpose. You can buy things, you can buy a car or house or whatever it is, or build a house and things like that, and use it for vyavaharam purposes, you can use it. But if you start thinking the deposit in the bank is going to shelter me today, tomorrow, and if you feel shelter in that bank deposit, that is not good. That is not ashrayam. That is not ashrayam, because money is meant for vyavaharam. Money is only meant for vyavaharam. All dravyam. Dravyam means everything. Money means, money is one of the dravyam. Money, then gold, or stocks and shares, or assets, or properties, or whatever, what one may have in this world, that is all for vyavaharam only, it is useful. It's only worth for transactions. But Krishna, nitya vastu, we have to take shelter. We have to take shelter, like Sundaramurti Swami said, that all these are problems in me, what can I do? There's nothing is going away from inside. So now what do? We take shelter of the anitya vastu. We take shelter in the anitya vastu and we do vyavaharam with Krishna. We do vyavaharam with Krishna. That's why many times you will see, we will make a lot of gold, jewelry and everything and put it on Krishna and says, oh, you look very beautiful, and putting all the gold on Krishna's body. So whatever we are doing in our vyavaharam, we bring that vyavaharam to Krishna also and put all the gold on Krishna's body and says to him and start imagining things like this. So, bhavana, it's in our own imagination we start doing that and do vyavaharam with this. But nitya vastu is for shelter. Krishna is for shelter. Anitya vastu or dravyam, that is not worthwhile for shelter. There is no vastu in this world, which is ashraya yogyam. Ashraya yogyam means that which you can take shelter of. This all have to be very clear. There is nothing in this world which you can take shelter of. Ashrayogyam, there is no vastu in this world. So, because you can see, suppose you have taken shelter of your own body. That's what we are most of us taking shelter of the body, isn't it? Looking after this body means you are trying to take shelter of this body. So, you cannot do that because all you can do with this body is vyavaharam. That's all you can do with this. Because when you have the body, with this body you can do vyavaharam. That's all it is worthwhile. But you can't take shelter of the body. Thinking that the body will stay and give you happiness, if you fall into that illusion, then you are in trouble. Then you are in trouble. So, anitya vastu, you can't take shelter. It's only worthwhile for vyavaharam, for transactions. So, can you say that keeping this body, I will live forever? Nobody can say that, isn't it? So, that is to indicate to us that this is also anitya vastu. It's only useful for that purpose what you can use it for. Otherwise, body also is all no use to us. So, sometimes you can see the hand is gone, leg has gone, body has become paralyzed or something else has happened into the body. And sometimes you have to feed the person through the mouth and things like that. So, so nobody can say that I will only take shelter of my own body or I will only depend on my own body, because this body itself will one day put you into a very distressful conditions. Because it is not permanent. That is the reason. Vastu is not permanent. Body is not permanent. Therefore, you cannot take shelter of this body either. as long as you have the body, as long as you have a body which is healthy, you can use it for vyavaharam purposes. For vyavaharam purpose, you can use that body. Just like the body is healthy, you can do some work with that body. And you can utilize it for some purpose. The moment you cannot use it for any purpose, immediately you should leave that body, of taking shelter of that body inside. Inside you have to leave the shelter of that body. Not to bring again closer and closer to the body, trying to save the body. Because Krishna is saying, body is not worthwhile taking shelter of. That is a very subtle point in that verse. Ananya cheta satadam yomam smarati nityasha tasyaham sulabha partha nityayuktasya yogina. Nityayuktasya yogina. Krishna is saying, a yogi who is properly fixed up, he will come to me ananya cheta satatam. Ananya chetasya. That what we spoke about. Ananya. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. That is the definition in the Bhakti Sutra. Narada Maharshi is saying, anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. Ananya bhakti, when does it come to a person? When he completely throws away shelter of everything else, what is temporary in this world, and totally taking shelter of the soul inside, then that bhakti is ananya bhakti. So, when we have thrown away all the shelter of everything else in this world, totally taken Krishna shelter, andaryami inside, anya ashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. So, even with your own body, you can't take the shelter. You have to deal with your own body in a particular way. That is the message. Not thinking that, oh, this is my body, after all, I have to take care. No, you cannot. Because it is temporary, so you should not think that it's yours and start going after the body all the time. Sometimes when we don't have this, Shastram is not telling us that when you get sick, don't take medicine. That's not what the Shastram is saying. Shastram is saying that don't take shelter of the body, thinking that this body will stay with you and trying to keep on holding on to the body, it won't work. One day it will go. It will go its own way. So, ashrayam should not be there. And all, not only body, everything else in this world, which is called dravyam, logadravyam, other assets in this world like bank balance or stocks and shares or gold or assets, whatever one may have, ashrayam should not be there inside. Thinking that they will give me shelter in this world, that should go from inside once for all. From inside it should go away. Ashrama, that means to realize that that is not permanent and that will not protect me. If one knows that, ashrayam will go from there. So, after that, whom should take one shelter? That is the question. That is the point Krishna is saying here. Nityavastu is inside. Nityavastu is inside. Permanent thing is only inside, not outside. Permanent thing is inside. That vastu inside is the permanent thing. That's why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself, what does he say? That he will say, Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tabatrayon Mulanam. Isn't it? Dharma Projida Gaida Votravaramo Narmat Saranam Sadam Vedyam Satam Vedyam. What does it mean? All the time, Vedyam, awareness is there. Him, Andaryami. Nurmat Saranam Satam Vedyam. Again, Satam Vedyam. Satam means Satatam. All the time, Vedyam. You are aware of that presence inside. Only there one should take shelter. Andaryami inside. Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tabatrayo Mulanam. If you take shelter there, then Tabatrayam will go. If you take shelter in the Dravyam outside, Tabatrayam will never go. The three kinds of distress will continue to exist. So that's why the beginning of Bhagavatam itself, Vedavyasa Maharshi mentioned that first thing, that when your attention has gone here and shelter is there, ashrayam is there, Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tabatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavade Mahamunikrde Kimvabareiri Ishvara Sadhyo Avarudhyade Trakradevi Shushroshubhi Talchanad. So ashrayam, that nitya vastu, that is the most important thing. This verse is mainly indicating to that. Ananya cheda sadam, ananya definition is anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. When you give up shelter of other things in this world, completely take shelter of Andaryami inside, that is ananya bhakti. And that is exactly Krishna repeats again later in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yandrarudhani mayaya tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata yal prasada alparam shandim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam. Those two verses in the 18th chapter. So Krishna has only this one thing to tell us, that I am there in everyone as Andaryami. Go back there, find him there and take shelter there, and then you won't repent, regret. Life is forever happy then. No more distress afterwards. And so long as if you take shelter of anything else in this world, eventually it will end up in distress. That is the message. So, anityam ashrayam, he mentions there, isn't it? Anityam ashrayam. So, here, if you leave, this is an interesting thing. You don't have to go inside and take shelter there. All we have to do is to leave the shelter of the things what we are holding on to. That's all it is required. If we do that, then nitya vastu inside will come out purnam, prakasham. That means he will come out illuminating from inside. Why? Because we are taking shelter of so many other things which are anityam, temporary. Therefore, he is not coming out. But Krishna is saying that once you leave them, this thing inside will come out in its normal way from inside. So, saying this with the words will not be enough. But you can see clearly that actually we are sitting in Krishna's lap. We are sitting in Krishna's lap. So, therefore, he says, we will always be something connected with the world in all situations. You can see we have so many connections with this world. So, and Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, your closest connection is with me, not with the vastu outside. Your connection with the vastu outside is very limited, but actually really, very strictly speaking, Krishna says, your closest connection is with me. Where does he say in the Bhagavad Gita? Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuda sanatana manashashtani indriyani prakritistani karshati. Isn't it? That's the words in the Bhagavad Gita. Why does Krishna say that? Mamai vamsho jiva loke. You are actually me. You are mine. You are mine. Mamai vamsham. Enda amsham. My amsham is. He says jiva logam is my amsham.
And these Jivabhutam are also Sanatanam. They are eternal. Soul by nature is eternal. So if you leave that, if you forget these words and go and take shelter of everything else in this world, then Krishna says that is not Sanatanam. Sanatana means eternal, isn't it? That eternal relationship we have with only one thing, with the soul. Our relationship is only one eternal thing. Eternally, we have only relationship with Krishna, the soul. Nowhere else. All other relationships are temporary. All other relationships are temporary. They can't stay. In spite of all that, we will still continue to take shelter of the world, isn't it? That is called avidya. That's called avidya. So, to understand avidya, very difficult to explain avidya. If you say to somebody, there are so many intelligent people, great, great personalities in this world, who have done wonderful things, but this one point doesn't get into their head. They also die in avidya, in ignorance. They also die in avidya. So, only if we come to this realization, that my eternal connection is with Krishna, nobody else. Only if that happens, that uninterrupted meditation, which Krishna says in that verse, will come to us. Remember, in this verse, Krishna is saying, Ananya Cheta Satadam Yomam Smarati Nityasha. The verse, if you read, you will see there. Tasyaham Sulabham Partha, Krishna says. Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. This is how Krishna puts it. Now, normally what people do, you think that, I am a devotee. So, I am following that verse very strictly. You may say like that, but no, you're not. You're only following that verse. First thing, the word you have to understand what is ananya cheta satatam means. Ananyatvam maskam. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. That is Narada Maharshi's definition in the Bhakti Sutra. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. When that happens, ananya cheta satatam, it will become. And when that comes out, it will, knowing that our relationship with Krishna is the permanent one, all other connections with this world, family, and other objects in this world is all temporary. When that gets inside very strongly, Krishna is saying here, Yomam Smarati Nityasha, you will start remembering me all the time, because that is the only genuine connection we have. For such a person, Krishna is saying, Tasya Aham Sulabha Partha, I am very easily available for him. Why? Because Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. He is a yogi who is Nitya Yukta. Nitya Yukta means completely in the situated in that state. So this is something you cannot get by your endeavor alone. Endeavor alone. And sahajam, in other words, suppose you sit down and start thinking that, let me remember Krishna all the time, the form what I have seen in the temple. It will not work. It will not work in that way. But if you have followed this process, what Krishna has spoken here, Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha, and that Ananya Bhakti builds up inside, that you are becoming totally under Krishna's shelter, and this understanding from the Bhagavad Gita that Mamaivamsho Jiva Loge Jiva Buddha Sanatana, that all living entities are closest connection is with Krishna. If these things become strongly established inside, then in a natural way that meditation will come inside of Krishna. You don't have to, but otherwise artificially if you sit down and start doing meditation, it won't work. It will not work. So more important thing in this verse is dependence on Krishna, not the meditation. Dependence, that is what is bhakti. Bhakti means that ananya cheta chetaha satatam yomam smarati nityesha. So there is a story about that. Now if you ask me when this happened and all that, I can't tell you. It's a story at the end. Siddhartha Maharshi always chants the holy name, isn't it? Narada Maharshi is always chanting. He went to Vaikuntham one day. And Narada Maharshi always used to think that sometimes he also thought I am a big devotee. Narada Maharshi thought like that. And he asked Vishnu in Vaikuntham, he asked him, in your opinion, he says to Vishnu, who is the greatest devotee? He thought Vishnu will tell him, you are the greatest devotee. That's what he asked him. So can you show it to me? He said, Narada thought like that. So Krishna says to him, Narada Maharshi thought that he's going to tell me that you are the greatest devotee, but he didn't say like that. Shri says to him, all right, I'll show him to you. He says, Krishna says to Narada Maharshi. So Narada Maharshi said, somebody else who is a great devotee, who's greater than me, he says that. And so both of them changed their dress, both Narada Maharshi and Krishna changed their dress and came like two pedestrians on the street. They were walking. And they reached one village. Somewhere in some village they arrived there, and there was a hut. And in that hut there was a farmer there. A farmer was there. And that farmer has actually got up and he was going to his field. He was going to his field. Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, he is the greatest devotee, my greatest devotee. Narada Maharshi got surprised when Krishna said that. And he says to Narada Maharshi, seeing this, so Narada Maharshi said, what is so great about him? When he gets up, he says once Narayana, he chants the name, once Narayana. After that, he takes his plow and he goes to the field. And the whole day, he works with the plow in the field, plowing the field. And comes back and he says Narayana, and then he goes back to sleep in the night. So Narada says to him, why do you say that he is your greatest devotee? And he doesn't do any deity worship. He doesn't have even chant 16 rounds or even 4 rounds or even 1 round is not chanting. All he has said once in the morning, one Narayana, and in the evening he comes home and he says Narayana. Nothing is there, and you are telling me he is the greatest devotee. And Krishna says to him, you go and speak to him and then come back and talk to me about it later and see what he is doing. Narada Maharshi goes to him and asks him about that. So what is that you are doing that making Krishna so happy with you? The farmer says to him, I don't know what bhakti and all that. I have no idea what it all means. But all I know is I have no other shelter. Krishna is sheltering me all the time. That's all his answer was. I am always under Krishna's shelter. I call him in the morning before I leave home, and then I go and work in the field. While working in the field also, one or two times in a day I mention, tell him that I have the strength to do all what I am doing, and please look after me, look after me. That's all I say to him. In the evening I am fully tired when I get home, so I just thank him for all what he has done to me for the day. I thank him and I go to bed, he said. And nothing else I know, and I have no other shelter. This was the words from the farmer. So so he mentioned about his daily activities to Narada Maharshi like this. I plow the land, I clear the weeds, and also the harvesting. But every time everything is done, I am always saying that Krishna has given this to me, and therefore I will remember him all the time for what he has given it to me. And I know very well that only if he allows me, all these things will happen. Otherwise, in this way, I do my work. I don't have time for chanting or in doing anything else, and I don't know anything else, he said to him. So he goes back to Narada, and Narada Maharshi goes to Krishna and says to him, he doesn't know anything. He hasn't studied any shastram. And he also says to me that he doesn't know anything about bhakti and all that thing. And you are telling me he is the greatest devotee. Krishna says to Vishnu at that time. Narada Maharshi says to him. So Krishna says at that time, no, not like that. Yomam smarati satatam. That word satatam to justify. In fact, it is him who is always remembering me, and I am aware of that. That he remembers me all the time. And he remembers, Narada Maharshi says to him, I am also remembering you all the time, Narada Maharshi says, because I am chanting you, chanting your name. So Krishna says, let's go back to Vaikuntham then. We'll talk about it there, he said. So both Krishna and Narada Maharshi goes back to Vaikuntham. And in the Vaikuntham, when they got there, Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, I'll give you one teaspoonful of oil. Keep that in your hand. And you go down all world, travel all the world and come back to me, he said.
So, traveling and this oil, what I put it on the spoon, it was full to the spoon. And it's very pure, and so there no drop of oil should fall away from the spoon. So, make a journey in the world and then come back to me, he said. Narada Maharshi took the spoon with the oil in the hand and traveled everywhere and came back. When he came back, the oil was there, not a drop has gone away from the oil. So Krishna asked Narada Maharshi, how many times did you remember me? He says to Narada Maharshi, only then Narada Maharshi remembered that he has not chanted once the holy name. Not once he has chanted the holy name. So while performing this, traveling in the world, no memory at all. So Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, now you should go, when you go, I will fill again with the oil, you go once again. And you should remember me, chant my name and perform the travel all through the world and then come back to me, he said. Okay, agreed. And they were going back to Vaikuntham. When Narada Maharshi got there, again filled the oil and Narada Maharshi started. Narada Maharshi was chanting all along and he came back. And when he came back, he asked Narada Maharshi, did you perform Sankirtanam? Were you chanting my name when you were traveling? Narada Maharshi said, yes, I was traveling all the time chanting the holy name. Krishna says to him, okay, let me look at your spoon. When he looked, there was no oil in there. There was no oil in there. So then Krishna says to him, you have to do it in such a way, the oil should not go, and at the same time you should be able to chant the holy name as well. This is the condition. And when they say that, we say, no, that's not possible. That's not possible. So, so that is why all the vyavaharam, what we have to do, vyavaharam has to continue. You can't stop it. We have come here, what can we do? Vyavaharam has to carry on. But then Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita also, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. Isn't it? Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see earlier somewhere, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. Where is that? It is in the, what is that verse? Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha, that's the second line. Tasmal Sarveshu Kaleshu. Tasmal Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha Mayarpita Manobuddhir Mama Veshyasi Asamshaya. Remember that? We talked about that, didn't we? Few days before, and we have forgotten by now. This is our great memory. Tasmal Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. Krishna says, Mayarpita Manobuddhir Mama Veshyasi Asamshaya. That verse. It looks we all have Alzheimer or dementia or what has, I don't know what to say, what does come. So, we have to remember, Krishna says to Arjuna, Tasmad Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. Krishna says that, you have to remember and you have to fight also, he says to Arjuna. So, one who can remember Krishna and able to perform Vyavaharam at the same time, he is a yogi. Whom Krishna calls as a yogi. Otherwise not a yogi. One who can do Vyavaharam, all Vyavaharam, whatever he has. Therefore, first thing is, minimize the Vyavaharam. That is the best thing. But it may not be possible to, initially, the easiest thing is to bring down the Vyavaharam as best as one can. Till we get settled there inside, in there. Once it is settled down, then even if you engages in Vyavaharam, it may not cause so much problem. Krishna is saying that, Tasmal Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha Mai Arpita Manobuddhir Mam Aveshyasi Asamshaya. Krishna said that few verses before. Now he is also saying there, you have to remember me at the same time. Remembrance in the sense that a devotee will remember Krishna as the Absolute Personality, Supreme Personality,
and surrendering to him. That way, all the time surrendering to him. A jnani will know this surrendering is to whom? Is that Antaryami inside? Krishna is the Antaryami inside and surrender unto him. And with that memory, he will live in this world, constantly taking Antaryami shelter. So, such a person is the greatest yogi, Krishna is saying there. So, Ananya Cheta Sadatam Yomam Smarati Nityasha Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yogina, Krishna is saying. We have seen this before also in the Panchadashi. Vidyaranya Swamiji mentions this. He puts it in a very nice way. He says, Pungani Punga Mishayakshana Talparobi Brahmava Loga Dishanam Najahadi Yogi Sangeeta Tala Laya Nirtya Vasham Gadabi Maulista Kumbha Parirakshana Dehi Nadiva. Gives the example like this, that Pungani Punga Mishayakshana Talparobi Brahmava Loga Dishanam Najahadi Yogi. He gives an example. You know, these women, they have what they call with the kumbham, with the pots on their heads. You may have seen them in villages in India, they dance. They have 3-4 pots on top of the other, and they can go on dancing for hours together without any pot falling from that, from the top, from the head. And you start wondering how they have this capacity to do that. That they have to, according to the music, and they have to keep the steps while dancing. Sangeeta Tala Laya Nritya Vasham Gatabhi. That means according to the Sangeetam, beats, music, layam, nrityam, the dance has to carry on. Sangeeta Tala Laya Nritya Vasham Gatabhi. Maulista Kumbham Parirakshana Di Nadiva. Even while they are dancing, they have to protect this kumbham, this pot, not one, 2, 3, 4 sometimes, one on top of the other. And you start thinking how they are able to keep it like this. Maulista Kumbha Parirakshana Dhina Diva. And they are able to dance at the same time according to the music without faltering the steps and the beats, everything they have to take into account. So, Vidyarani Swamiji says there, similarly, a person who is in the process of self-realization, he, Pungani Punga Mishayakshana Talparobi, that he is doing his karmam in this world. At the same time, as an undercurrent inside him, that's Smarana, memory of Krishna. This self-realization is always working inside him. Self-realization is always, he may be doing so many things in this world, he may be doing business or working somewhere, he may be in his family life, he may be even sometimes engaged in social life, all these things may be happening to him. But still, inside as an undercurrent, this self-realization is working all the time. That is the goal. There is no falter. It's always fixed there. He's fixed inside, but external activities are carrying on in its own way. So, exactly like the comparison given here, like the women who dance with the pots on the top. Kumbhanu, Maulista Kumbha Parirakshana Gadi Nadiva. That Maulista Kumbham, that they have the Kumbham on one top or the other, they are able to dance and it doesn't fall. And according to the music, they can dance. So the two things are happening same time, isn't it? Similarly, in our life also, what is that? Brahmava Loga Dishana Najhadi Yogi. Yogi will never throw away Brahmava Loga Dishana. Dishana means his brain and mind is always focused on the Brahman realization. Brahmava Loga Dishana. Brahmava Loga Dishana means self-realization. It is always focused on the self-realization. At the same time, Pungani Punga Vishayakshana Talparobi. He will carry out all his worldly activities. Whatever he has to do, he will carry out that at the same time, focus always on the Brahmavaloka Dishana, Brahman realization inside. Such a person is a first class devotee. And only they can do that. Only they can do that. So their attitude is, due to prarabdham, let me go through anything what is happening in this world. Doesn't matter what goes on here. Whatever vyavaharam it comes to me, I'll do that. Doesn't matter. But what is the speciality? Ananya Chetaha. They are Ananya Chetaha. They know very well that Krishna is inside as the Antaryami and they connect with him always. Ananya cheta satatam. Because vyavaharam, what we do is prarabdham. That's the first thing. All vyavaharam in this world is prarabdham, it is. Prarabdham comes in that way in different forms and forces us to do some vyavaharam in this world. And once the vyavaharam is over, once the vyavaharam is over, that vastu will go away from inside and mind will go to the court of Krishna. Once the vyavaharam is finished, initially it is like that. When the vyavaharam goes on, temporarily you may move away. But finally, Krishna is saying here, even while performing vyavaharam inside as an undercurrent, that self-realization must continue. But even temporarily, sometimes in the vyavaharam, if it goes away, once the vyavaharam is finished, mind will go back to again, back to the same center for self-realization. Because there is no higher goal than self-realization in this world. You cannot have any other higher goal, because you can see any other goal in this world, eventually it all flops, isn't it? Nothing is in this world worthwhile staying, pursuing after. So, Yomam Smarati Nityasha, Krishna is saying here, one who takes this process and continuously engaged in Krishna's remembrance of Krishna, Tasyaham Sulabha Partha, Krishna says, Nitya Yuptasya Yogina, and he is a yogi, and for him I am very easily available, Krishna says there. Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuptasya Yogina. And even while Vyavaharam is going through, he is still busy in that self-realization process. He is busy in the self-realization process. Not even for a moment his mind will move away from the absorption in the soul, never separated. You can see this in the case of all the great acharyas and great personalities. All the great acharyas and personalities, you can see this. This is what they have done. Example like here, Shankaracharya's case, for example, he has not once he sat down in a cave and engaged in meditation, did he? He traveled 32 years all over the country. He was traveling and he was debating with great, great personalities, wrote so many knowledge literatures regarding knowledge, and busy were installation of the temples, deities in the temples, and arranging deity worship, establishing mutts for propagation of this knowledge. Like this, they have done. So that was their state. That was their state. So for them, shariram, body, will go according to the prarabdham and let it do whatever it has to do. But punganimunga vishayakshana talparopi. But in the logam, in the world, although they were seeing all that what was going on here, brahmava loga dishnana jahadi yogi. Every acharya, if you take, it was like that. Whether it was Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them were like that, isn't it? You can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life also, if you read, you will see exactly the same thing. That 48 years he spent in this world, so many things passed through in life. He had to marry twice, and mother died, and then he traveled all over the country and visiting various holy places, but all the time inside Krishna consciousness. Is it not? That's what they have taught us. Acharyas are teaching us that thing. That they have done so many things. He went to Jagannath Puri, then he went to Vrindavanam, and on the way he had to debate with Prakashananda Saraswati and others in Banaras, and Goswamis came to him. He was discussing with them various philosophical things. So many things Mahaprabhu has done in his lifetime. But all the time, what was going on inside that undercurrent? Krishna. Krishna inside always. So this is that principle. What? Ananya cheda sadadam yomam smaradi nityasha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. Krishna says they are the Nitya yogi, they are eternally yogis, Krishna says. Not that, for some time they were yogi state, and sometimes not. 24 hours.
whole life. Imagine that. That is proper yogasthiti. That is the proper yogasthiti. 24 hours, whole life, that is yogasthiti. That is yoga state. So, in other words, even though they also had to do vyavaharam, isn't it? Mahaprabhu had to marry twice. That's vyavaharam. That's vyavaharam. He had to marry twice. That's vyavaharam. But never moved away from the yogasthiti. Any acharya if you take, you will see that it was like that. For vyavaharam, they had to do many things. So many things in Ramanujacharya's life, if you look. He had to run away because of the debate between the kings and Shaiva Vaishnava problems and all that. He had to run away to Sri Rangapatanam. And many things happened in his life also. But when all these things were happening, as an undercurrent inside, it is always bhakti. It's always bhakti. That is ananya bhakti. Ananya cheta sadadam yomam smarati nityasha. That was their state. That was their state. So, bhakti margam and jnana margam, both it is apply. This applies to both. It applies to both. In the bhakti process, you are handing over the mind and the body to Krishna completely and leave it to Krishna, whatever he wants to do with it. And if you hand over yourself to Krishna in that way, this state will come. In the jnana margam, what you do, if you naturally get this Atma Dhyanam, Atma Vijaram, that has to come from Krishna's mercy only. The process of self-inquiry, Atma Vijaram, or Jnana Vijaram, or Shastra Vijaram, if that happens in a Jnani's case, that is what will happen, then also you will come to the same state. So, in a devotee's case, he has to hand over everything first. Mind, intelligence, everything to Krishna. And totally dependent on, like the way Sundaramurti Swamiji's story we mentioned in the beginning. If you do like that, as a devotee, he will completely come to this state, finally. As a jnani, who is not following the devotional process, he has to be absorbed in the self-inquiry and realization of the soul. Always absorbed in that, the process of self-realization inside. So either jnana margam or bhakti margam, in both processes, eventually it comes to the same situation. That's what Krishna is saying there. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityasha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginam. Such a yogi is nitya yuktasya. Krishna is saying, it's not say there is jnana yogi or bhakti yogi. Whether jnanam or bhakti, doesn't matter. Krishna is saying, he is nitya yukta. Because he is eternally with me. He is eternally with me. So, we will stop there. It's 6:30. We'll see you on next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.